You're listening to the David Knight Show. Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
It's Wednesday, November the 13th, 2019. Today we are going to have the beginning of the public show trial, and that's exactly what it is. So we're going to take a look at that. We'll give you highlights as they come through. We'll probably carry some of that live, and we'll give you highlights because it can be very, very slow going, especially when you got somebody like Adam Schiff. I don't think you or I want to watch Adam Schiff running a parliamentary procedure. I don't have the stomach for that. But we will give you the highlights of that. We'll let you know what's going on, and we'll also give you a little bit of a background here. Yes, the devil is in the detailees. That's the new term that you're seeing out there. Yeah, it's interesting as we look at this. Is there any doubt that this is just a CIA coup? The CIA has been running coups ever since it was created. The reason we have this mess in Iran with a fundamentalist Islamic government is because back in the 1950s, they overthrew an election there. They didn't like the individual who was going to nationalize the companies. You know, kind of like what the Democrats are talking about doing right now. And so they overthrew that election and put in the Shah of Iran, trained him how to run a secret police that tortured people. And then after a couple of decades, it blew up in their face. And the people revolted, and they went. The pendulum swung in radically in the other direction, to the Ayatollah Khomeini and so forth. And that's when most Americans' understanding of Iran begins, with the takeover of the American embassy. But it was blowback from a CIA coup. And they've done that everywhere, all around the world. Typically doesn't turn out too well. But they've had a lot of experience in doing that. They're bringing it here now to America. The fact that we talk about the dossier, the detailees, you must not talk about that whistleblower. Do not say his name. And you've got Google and Facebook purging anybody, any conversation about it. One individual has now sued Facebook. He said, look, I put up, you know, three different posts, one of them neutral, using the whistleblower's name, he who shall not be named, Voldemort Ciamarella. Anyway, he put up three different posts about the whistleblower, Eric CIA Ramella. One of them was critical, one of them was positive, and the other one was neutral, and they took them all down. Not going to let you talk about that. Same thing with YouTube, purging that stuff off. This is coming from the CIA, folks, and it tells you who are the arms and legs of the CIA, too. I've been saying this from the very beginning about Google, Facebook, and others who have purged us here. They are the beard for the censorship that is actually coming from the same people who are trying to overthrow our election, who are trying to engineer a coup against the president, CIA. The weapons of defense will become instruments of tyranny at home. We were warned about this by the people who understood government, who understood human nature, who got our freedom, wrote our Constitution, and tried to explain it to us. But, of course, we've got a tradition now that we turn our children over to the government tyrants to be educated. And guess what they come away with? They come away with an idea that government is absolutely essential, that's going to provide you everything that you need in life. Before we get to, of course, the hearing isn't going to start for at least another hour. We also have a guest who is going to talk to us about the Westminster pedophile cover-up from the UK. She is a reporter there. And that will be also in the second hour. We will be talking about coming up in the next segment because we're just about to go to break. We'll be talking about what you really do need. You don't need more government, but maybe you need some red meat and dairy products. All these things have been demonized by the people running the FDA, you know, the Food and Drug Administration, telling you got to eat lots of carbs. They had their food pyramid and so forth. But we're going to talk about how the dairy farms are going out of business. And we're going to talk about DNA editing and how dangerous that can be, as we see in the cattle industry.
InfoWars Life has done it again with undoubtedly our biggest breakthrough yet. Super Silver Whitening Toothpaste. This is proprietary. This is with the top lab in the country, and it is incredibly high quality. This is the best toothpaste you're going to find. It's called whitening toothpaste, but really it knocks out the bacteria. It recalcifies the teeth. It does so many things on so many fronts. These beautiful tubes of Super Silver Toothpaste are available at an introductory price of 25% off out of the gates. It's as low as we can go, and they're going to sell out very, very quickly. Super Silver Whitening Toothpaste is going to be a hit. I'm very, very proud of it. I want to thank my father, a retired dentist, for spearheading this the last 2 years and developing it. It's 25% off out of the gates. That's as low as we can go because it's very, very expensive to produce. Get yours today at InfoWarsLife.com.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
It's Wednesday, November the 13th, year of our Lord 2019. Today, we are going to have the show trial from Adam Schiff begin. And it's going to be televised. We'll see exactly what happens with that. We'll be joining that in the second hour. But first, let's take a look at the other side of Washington, the Supreme Court, and what is happening there. As I pointed out yesterday, it's absolutely ridiculous that this would be something that would be stopped by anybody in the judiciary. And the troubling aspect of this, even though it looks like from the arguments that were held yesterday, they had questioning going back and forth in the Supreme Court over DACA. And as I pointed out, it's absurd that this would even be a question. You know, a president can't change an executive order that was done by a previous president's subordinate who said that she would not enforce immigration law? I mean, what's going on with this? How can a judge say, you can't do that? You can't enforce the law that a previous president's subordinate said she wouldn't enforce? What's going on here? Do they not recognize the election? Yeah, fundamentally, I think that's the issue with these activist judges. The legal fiction that they were operating under was, you know, his motives. Yeah, I just don't like his motives. I don't like the way that he did this, and it is a very absurd legal argument that they're putting out there. And quite frankly, I don't like the way the press is referring to DACA everywhere. And that includes the conservative press, like Daily Caller. The Supreme Court looks ready to uphold Trump's bid to end DACA. Okay, well, you know, it's not a bid. It says order. He's the president. He is the executive. He has the ability and the authority and the duty to defend our borders. And he has the authority to issue his own executive orders and to overturn previous administration's executive orders. It's not a bid. It's not a request. And quite frankly, I am sick and tired of the presidents, including President Trump, the governors, including Governor Abbott, who I typically like both of them in many different areas, but they're so supine and obedient and subservient to the Supreme Court. They don't need to be. The governors have the 9th and 10th Amendment. They have power that is equal to the federal government. We have a division of power. We have a division of power between the courts and between the executive and between the Congress. It's not a pyramid. We don't have a pyramid with the federal government over the states, with the judiciary over the other two branches. It's not a pyramid structure. They're co-equal branches of government, and the same thing is true of the governors. It's not just President Trump who has the duty to protect the border and the law and the dreams of Americans. It's also the governors. And then they go on to say, Trump's decision to rescind DACA program. It's a program? No. It was an order. It was an order from Janet Napolitano and Obama. An amnesty initiative that shields illegal aliens. It's just it's a program. It's an initiative. And we can't get rid of this. This is just a bid by President Trump. You know, what am I bid for this old executive order from the Obama administration? Zero. I give you $0 for that. It's absolutely worthless. Who cares what Obama and Janet Napolitano said? And who cares what the Supreme Court of these federal judges say? As I said many times, President Trump loves that picture of Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson said of the Supreme Court, they've made their decision. Let's see them enforce it. He understood we had a division of power. And as I've said many times, I disagree with the decision that Andrew Jackson made. You know, there was a Supreme Court who made a decision, right? They said, no, you can remove the Cherokee out of their native lands and ship them to Oklahoma. And so he began doing it. They looked at the policy. They didn't like the policy. They came back and they said, a year later, the same Supreme Court reversed itself and said to the president, you can't do that. And he said, well, you've made your decision. That's your opinion. Let's see you enforce it. And he continued to do it. Now, I think his policy was wrong, but he had the authority to do it. And the Constitution is more important. And if you don't like, see, this is a lesson of today, this impeachment system here. If you don't like the people in power, don't destroy the system. Change the people in power. That was the essence of our republic. That's the essence of the Constitution. Not that you're going to run some kind of extra-legal, extra-judicial takedown of the system because you don't like the results. We're headed toward anarchy and civil war because of this kind of attitude by the Democrats, by the judiciary. And quite frankly, this is why George Soros and the Democrat Party have invested so much into the judiciary, because they can't win. Their ideas are alien to Americans. They support aliens over Americans, foreign citizens over Americans. Daily Caller points out, neither the lower courts nor the challengers contend that Trump lacks the fundamental power to end DACA. Oh, well, you know, so what's the problem here? They just say that his decision can still be reviewed in court. And here's the argument that they're making. And guess who's making the argument? Ted Olson is the attorney arguing against the Trump administration to keep DACA. Do you remember who Ted Olson is? He was the guy who was leading the recount for George W. in Florida. And then he got a high-ranking position. I forget exactly what his title was in the Bush administration. But within a year, Ted Olson's wife made a phone call as she was riding the guided missile that went into the Pentagon. Yeah, it wasn't an airplane, and you can't make a phone call that works like that. Give me a break. Come on. Phone calls on planes that are allegedly going hundreds of miles an hour at an altitude that they couldn't possibly fly that fast at that altitude. But if they were flying that fast, they would be going through the cell towers too quickly. It's why I've always believed that for a couple of decades, they told everybody, do not use your cell phone on the plane. And it's like, why? Why? I mean, if cell phones are going to keep the plane from working, if they can't communicate because of cell phones, then how do they get off the ground? Because you're there at the airport, right? And everybody's using their cell phones in the airport. And the cell phone signal is all over the place on the ground. So how do you talk to anybody and communicate to anybody from the cockpit to even get off the ground? Your communications would be busted going back to the tower. Your communications with each other would be busted, right, if that was all true. It's absolute nonsense. And I know, because I've conducted my own experiments. And the plane did not crash when I refused to go into airplane mode. Violated federal law, just to make that point. It's absolute nonsense. And so this liar, Ted Olson, who sold us this 9/11 myth about his wife, what happened to his wife? I don't know. Is this a quid pro quo? Hey, Georgie, I've got this wife and I'd like to, I don't want to have to go through a painful divorce. You know how expensive and vicious those things could be? I know, because I'm a lawyer. Can you help me out on this? Got just the thing. Nobody will call us on that. But anyway, so Ted Olson as Judge Samuel Alito seemed to agree with the idea that this argument... Oh, I skipped over the argument. The argument is that there's this thing called the Administrative Procedure Act that nobody has ever heard of and is absolutely irrelevant. And these people are saying, well, you know, the idea that Trump's Homeland Security Secretary would terminate what Obama's Homeland Security Secretary put in, this is, quote, arbitrary and capricious under the Administrative Procedure Act. Well, how did Janet Napolitano get away with it then? See, this is the double standard. This is the lawsuit, judicial tyranny approach of government that the Democrats are known for. And Ted Olson was pushing. And I'm going to give you the very pointed questions of Alito when we come back. That's why people say, yeah, they're going to go with Trump. Obviously, should.
A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them. There's a famous quote by a Marine Corps general in the Korean War when 3 million Chi-Coms had flooded across the border and surrounded the Marines. More than 50-1, some estimates have it. But the point is they were outnumbered, and the general was told, "General, we're completely surrounded." He said, "Good, we can attack in all directions." Well, that's the point that InfoWars has reached. And it really is epic. It really is biblical. And we wouldn't have gone this far without all your support. But it's going to become more critical than ever as the censorship becomes complete. And it's not just Americans, but folks all over the world are completely silenced when it comes to speaking the name of a CIA fake whistleblower or exposing a pedophile or speaking out against dangerous vaccines. Because by InfoWars having its own platform, that checkmates the globalists. About a month ago, President Trump announced that he was going to move his domicile from New York City to Florida, where he's always said he planned to retire to. And the left got so excited. They said, oh, he's about to resign and leave instead of facing impeachment, and he's running to Florida. Well, now we know why the president did that. He knew the leftist-controlled appeals courts were going to say that he had to give up his tax returns so they can pour over them and harass every business partner he's got. They want to terrorize people that he's worked with. And by moving his domicile from New York to Florida, that gets around the New York law they passed to get his tax returns that are supposed to be private. So all those people out there holding their breath for the president to resign, in his words, we're kicking the deep state's ass, and he's never going to resign. The globalists know that I will never willingly give up. I've said it many times. I will never give in. I will never give up, but I could give out. And it's very, very frustrating to see them committing all their crimes against humanity, to see evil running rampant like this, and to know that most Americans have already been silenced in cyberspace, that most Americans have already been shadow banned by big tech, and to know that most Americans feel powerless and don't realize how much power they have by spreading the word about NewsWars.com, InfoWars.com, and Band.video. And that people are hungry for the truth now more than ever. And that if you tell people, hey, the banned truth they don't want you to have, is at Infowars.com/show and band.video. So take heart, folks. They've had to censor everybody and shut everybody down because the truth is powerful and they can't beat us fair and square.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
So quickly, here's the history. We've had the Democrats introduce bills several times called the DREAM Act. They failed every time. And so when the Democrats don't win in the at the ballot box, when they don't win their votes in Congress, they turn to legal chicanery and extra legal chicanery. So because they could not pass the DREAM Act, and understand where this is where this all is as well. This whole idea of anchor babies, as we see with this ISIS bride of Frankenstein, who was born to a foreign diplomat from Yemen. And then now they say, American born ISIS bride, yada, 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 who was allowed to be on social media telling everybody to kill Americans any way that they could. She didn't say grab an AR-15 from Remington. She said run them over with cars and trucks. Kill them any way that you can. And the 14th Amendment specifically excludes her case. But in principle, it was about making sure that the newly freed black slaves were recognized fully as citizens because they were born in America under the jurisdiction of America. So an anchor baby. Born to foreign citizens who are criminally trespassing, those foreign citizens, both by virtue of them being foreign citizens and by them criminally trespassing and flaunting the laws of this country, are not subject to the jurisdiction of America, and their children are not American citizens. But we go with that fiction of the anchor baby. And that wasn't enough. We couldn't pack the people into America quickly enough from foreign countries to suit the Democrats who continue to lose elections. And so you had Janet Napolitano, the Homeland Security Secretary for Barack Obama, said, I've got an idea. We'll call it DACA, Deferred Action on Childhood Arrival. So these are kids who were brought here after they were born in another country. So they were brought here by their foreign parents, and both they and their foreign parents are criminally trespassing. They were not born on American soil. So we're going to extend that to them. And then they called them dreamers, even though they never passed a DREAM Act. Then in September 2017, you know, President Trump took power in January 2017, acting Homeland Security Secretary Elaine Duke announced a timeline to terminate DACA. Duke said then Attorney General Jeff Sessions told her that the DHS program is unlawful. Yeah, it was. It had no basis in law. It had never been passed as a law. It was something that the previous Homeland Security Secretary did. So she just says, well, we're going to start to enforce the law. We're not going to defer action anymore. And so then they sued in court. They said, you can't do that. That's arbitrary and capricious. Well, wasn't deferring action arbitrary and capricious on the part of Janet Napolitano, the previous Homeland Security Secretary? Oh, they said, that's arbitrary and capricious under the Administrative Procedure Act, APA. And so we're going to sue on that. And that's what they've been doing. The plaintiff said, it's truly remarkable that a cabinet-level officer would offer such a cursory explanation for a decision that affects hundreds of thousands of lives and reverses a long-standing, carefully reasoned government position. Yeah, it was about 3 or 4 years. And it wasn't carefully reasoned. It was political pandering. And you aren't due an explanation. The explanation is we have borders and we have immigration laws and we're going to enforce them, and you're no longer in power. Your executive branch is gone. We have a new executive branch. There's a new sheriff in town. Here's a cursory explanation. What they've done is illegal. They have no legal right to be in this country. And you decide that you're not going to enforce the law. I'm going to enforce the law. That's the explanation. That's the only explanation you need. And so they come back, and they argued that the APA doesn't apply to actions committed to agency discretion by law, said the Trump administration. They said it's much like a prosecutor's decision to either pursue or to decline indictments. That is up to the prosecutor. That's one of the reasons why George Soros has spent so much money, millions of dollars, to get local prosecutors elected to office so he can turn them into persecutors. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition, except for George Soros. He's making sure it's going to happen. So as the Supreme Court did their questioning, Justice Alito, as I said, agreed with that. He compared the DACA dispute to a case involving a hypothetical Justice Department decision that they would not prosecute cases of cocaine possession below a certain amount. And that's when Ted Olson, the bereaved widow of fictional airplane that flew his wife, who flew into the Pentagon, allegedly, challenged this. And he said, that's not true. And so Alito shot back and said, well, what's the difference? What's the difference? I don't know if he had anything to say. He said, let me get my wife on the phone. Neil Gorsuch also expressed similar doubt. So people are saying that it looks like President Trump is going to win. I would say this, that even if he does win, I'm very concerned about what it means. Because President Trump said back in September 6th, he said, rest assured that if the Supreme Court does what all say it must based on law, a bipartisan deal will be made to the benefit of all. You're going to make a deal with this? So you're not only deferring your authority unconstitutionally to the judiciary, which, you know, cut them some slack. Every president's been doing that for decades. They've all been doing it. It's time that somebody needs to stop. But he's not going to be any better than the previous presidents. He's going to defer his authority. He's going to bow to them. He's going to transfer that authority to them that they do not have. So it's a case of deferred authority. And now it appears that it's going to be a case of deferred action on campaign promises. DACP, I guess. How do we pronounce that? D-A-C-P? DACP? I don't know, but it stinks. It really does stink. And then yesterday, that was September 6th that he said that. And then this is the tweet that triggered Ann Coulter. Yesterday he tweeted out, many of the people in DACA, no longer very young, are far from angels. Some are very tough and hardened criminals. If the Supreme Court remedies with an overturn, a deal will be made with Democrats for them to stay. Like what? What in the world is he talking about? Within the same tweet, you have this non sequitur. The thing that separates those is a sentence that says President Obama said he had no legal right to sign the order, but he would anyway. Take that out and just listen to this again. Listen to what President Trump tweeted, the beginning and the end. Three sentences. Let's just do the first sentence and second sentence, because the fact that Obama had no legal right to do it is a moot point at this point. Many of the people in DACA are not young. They're far from angels. Some are very tough, hardened criminals. But if the Supreme Court remedies with an overturn, a deal will be made with Dems for them to stay. President Trump, you campaigned on the border. You campaigned about angel moms who lost their children to criminals who came across the border because we don't control it. And you're going to let people stay because they've been here, grandfather them in? Yeah, we're going to grandfather. We got a new grandfather. We call it not Uncle Sam anymore, but Grandfather Sam, the parent of the DACAs.
I spend a lot of time reminding the InfoWars family of listeners and viewers that without you, we won't be on the air. And I spend a lot of time thanking you. But I really think you should thank yourself for keeping us on the air and really changing the world for the better and raising the alarm as modern Paul Revere's. But something I should spend more time on is just reminding you that these products are really amazing. You've got that pledge from me, but you've seen the third-party test out there, the air filtration, the water filtration. The supplements are all the very best you're going to find out there. And you can't fund an operation anywhere else that's fighting the globalists this hard. So it's not a burden to support InfoWars. It really is something that is good for everybody, that stands for justice and freedom, and makes your life and your family's life and your children's life so much better. So visit InfoWarsStore.com today. A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them. Beto O'Rourke came out dozens of times and said, we're going to confiscate all your semi-automatic rifles. And he got all the other Democrats on the stage, nine others, to agree and said that he was a hero. Think about that. Now, those Democrats have taken all the guns in the cities they control. Their blue cities are literal crap holes covered with needles and with massive drug dealing and incredible levels of violent crime. They know what they're doing. And now the Supreme Court's come out and ruled that gun manufacturers can be sued into oblivion for what criminals do using their firearms. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen, this country's under such incredible attack. But more and more towns and cities are saying they're sanctuaries for the Second Amendment, and they're going to follow the original Bill of Rights and Constitution, and they're not going to help in the confiscation of guns. So you see, a lot of these cities ignore illegal aliens. Well, we could ignore all your unconstitutional laws. I've made a lot of predictions that have come true, but I'm here to tell you most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced, because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Mainstream propaganda. This is The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Remember just a few years ago when President Trump said this? Let's play video clip number four.
I want dreamers to come from the United States. I want the people in the United States that have children. I want them to have dreams also. We're always talking about dreamers for other people. I want the children that are growing up in the United States to be dreamers also.
Remember that? Remember that's how he got elected president? You know, Ann Coulter got very upset yesterday. It was at the top of the Drudge Report. Trump must go. Well, actually what she was doing, she was responding to the fact that President Trump again said many of the people in DACA are not young anymore. It goes up into the 30s, you know. Those people, they can keep them in that program for a long time. And they're not angels. Some are very tough, hardened criminals. But if the Supreme Court remedies with an overturn, a deal can be made with the Democrats for them to stay. And so Ann Coulter replied, okay, that does it. I give up. They can stay. You gotta go. Yeah, you know, I never called Trump God Emperor like Ann Coulter did. She's gotten full bipolar on this whole thing. I don't worship men. I understand what politicians are. I was around when Reagan was around, and I understand that dreams can die hard. The dreamers need to understand that as well. You know, they had a dream. They could come here illegally. They could get superior benefits to American citizens. You know, they get in-state tuition, most of these blue states. They can get scholarships at the very best schools that your kids are not going to be allowed to even apply for because you're too normative, right? They can get free health care in California that American citizens can't get. They get superior benefits. And when we talk about the American dream, how is that usually understood? The American dream? A home. What's the biggest obstacle to having a home? It's the taxes that you pay for schools. The schools that are being built here in Texas. We've got a couple of schools going up that are just filled with people from foreign countries around this area. And the taxes keep going up. We are paying to educate children from all over the world, just like the Democrats want us to pay for the health care of everybody from all over the world and the college education of everybody around the world. But we got to pay for the K through 12 schools. And you look at the average size of the school around here in Texas, and it's about the number of people coming across the border in 3 to 5 days, depending on the time of year. So how are we going to build schools to keep up with that? Our roads are falling apart. We're not going to be able to afford our own homes. Our American dream is going to be sacrificed to pay for the education of so-called dreamers who come here without our permission and demand a free education. I'm sick of it, quite frankly. And I'm quite frankly sick of presidents and campaign politicians who make every kind of promise in the world and have absolutely no intention of keeping it. But I kind of expected that, unlike Ann Coulter. this is about a choice to destroy lives, they said. And see, this is what he's up against. He doesn't have the guts. He doesn't have the guts to say no to people coming here demanding free stuff from us. Demanding that we put our lives on hold. He used to understand that once upon a time. He used to say, I want to see dreams coming from Americans. I think Americans should have the right to have dreams, not just people from other countries. Now, as you look at what he tweeted out, as you look at the analysis from the Daily Caller, look, if he wins, they said, if he wins the Supreme Court, it'll give President Trump significant leverage in negotiations with Congress to reach an immigration deal. Let me tell you something. If he wins at the Supreme Court, he will have zero leverage. Zero leverage. Because he's too worried about hurt feelings of people who are told, you got to go back home. You got to go back home. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at the president. Get mad at your parents who brought you here illegally. Get mad at them. It's just like these separations of the border. And the kids who are drug across the border or shipped off to child traffickers and then something horrific happens to them, they get kidnapped and put into sexual slavery or they die going across these dangerous borders, these open areas and so forth. It's like, what about your parents? Are your parents responsible for that? Should the parents be held accountable for that? Look at the standard they have to Americans. They can take your kids just on mere accusations of a disgruntled former spouse or neighbor who doesn't like you. They can say anything they want to about you. They'll come in and take your kids. But these are parents who recklessly endangered their children's lives, and they have no responsibility about that. So President Trump isn't going to have any leverage if he wants to pander instead of lead in this. He isn't going to have any. And quite frankly, the reason I never saw President Trump as God Emperor, I think he's done a lot of good things, and I've said that many times. I agree with a lot of his policies. And the best thing about President Trump is he's not Hillary Clinton. And we'll talk about her coming up. Everybody's begging her to get back in the race, she says. I would like for her to get back in the race. I think it'd be very easy for President Trump to beat her. And, he has done a lot of very good things, in terms of fighting back against the insane environmental religion, that is being foisted upon us. He's done a lot of things to support freedom of religion. He's done more than most presidents in terms of supporting veterans. Although he hasn't ended these wars, he's still being stymied in that. But one of the things that he doesn't seem to get is liberty. And I remember the first time I interviewed Roger Stone. He wasn't working here at the time. He came here for an interview. And I said, quite frankly, I'm not really too much of a supporter of President Trump because he never talks about the Constitution or about liberty. Liberty. And I said, Rand Paul does. And he said, yeah, but you got to save the country. You got to protect the borders. There's some existential issues here. And that's right, there are. And he's failing us on those existential issues. And one of these liberty issues that is existential, not just the border, but what's going on with the Second Amendment. And this broke yesterday after the program. The Supreme Court saying Sandy Hook families can bring a lawsuit against Remington Arms that made the AR-15 that is alleged to have been used by the alleged shooter to allegedly kill people. And I said from the very beginning, Sandy Hook has always been about destroying and overthrowing the Second Amendment and your right to keep and bear arms, and it still is. And this is yet another example of this. This legal fiction that you can sue a manufacturer, that was the first thing that the Sandy Hook parents did. They went after Remington. And we criticized them and said, look at this. They're not even doing anything about the school failing to provide security. What's up with that? And it was less than a week before the statute of limitations ended. It was years after that they finally filed a lawsuit against the school, kind of half-heartedly. This is what they were after the entire time. Because the Democrats understand that if you can stop the manufacture and sale of ammunition, and Obama tried to do that, you know, to Fort Drum, for example, and many other places, and you're not going to resell the spent brass to private industry. They've used that to remanufacture ammunition and so forth. So he tried to stop it from that standpoint. They want to stop the manufacture of ammunition. They want to stop the manufacture of guns. And, you know, if they stop the manufacture of ammunition, you've just got a club. And they want to stop the manufacture of weapons as well. Absolutely insane. They filed that lawsuit in December 2014, saying the Bushmaster rifle never should have been sold to anybody. Why? Because it's a military-style weapon. Guess what? We also had military-style weapons at Concord and Lexington. They were state-of-the-art rifles, and they had cannons, Sandy Hook families. They had cannons. They came for the cannons at Lexington and Concord. They came for the cannons at Goliad. That's why we have a cannon on our come-and-take-it flag here, because Santa Ana came for the cannons. The British came for the cannons and the state-of-the-art military firearms.
InfoWars Life has done it again with undoubtedly our biggest breakthrough yet. Super Silver Whitening Toothpaste. This is proprietary. This is with the top lab in the country, and it is incredibly high quality. This is the best toothpaste you're going to find. It's called whitening toothpaste, but really it knocks out the bacteria. It recalcifies the teeth. It does so many things on so many fronts. These beautiful tubes of Super Silver Toothpaste are available at an introductory price of 25% off out of the gates. It's as low as we can go, and they're going to sell out very, very quickly. Super Silver Whitening Toothpaste is going to be a hit. I'm very, very proud of it. And I want to thank my father, a retired dentist, for spearheading this the last 2 years and developing it. It's 25% off out of the gates. That's as low as we can go because it's very, very expensive to produce. Get yours today at InfoWarsLife.com. A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them. About a month ago, President Trump announced that he was going to move his domicile from New York City to Florida, where he's always said he planned to retire to. And the left got so excited. They said, oh, he's about to resign and leave instead of facing impeachment, and he's running to Florida. Well, now we know why the president did that. He knew the leftist-controlled appeals courts were going to say that he had to give up his tax returns so they can pore over them and harass every business partner he's got. They want to terrorize people that he's worked with. And by moving his domicile from New York to Florida, that gets around the New York law they passed to get his tax returns that are supposed to be private. So all those people out there holding their breath for the president to resign, in his words, we're kicking the deep state's ass, and he's never going to resign. There's a famous quote by a Marine Corps general in the Korean War when 3 million Chi-Coms had flooded across the border and surrounded the Marines. More than 50 to 1, some estimates have it. But the point is, they were outnumbered, and the general was told, general, we're completely surrounded. He said, good, we can attack in all directions. Well, that's the point that InfoWars has reached. And it really is epic. It really is biblical. And we wouldn't have gone this far without all your support. But it's going to become more critical than ever as the censorship becomes complete. And it's not just Americans, but folks all over the world are completely silenced when it comes to speaking the name of a CIA fake whistleblower or exposing a pedophile or speaking out against dangerous vaccines. Because by InfoWars having its own platform, that checkmates the globalists.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Emails. They can follow you everywhere you go. They can track you with biometric tracking. Soon they'll have even more devices to track you everywhere you go. But that's not a problem, right? We can see, however, what is happening to President Trump and what has happened to other people. As we see people like Roger Stone dragged before these people for allegedly lying to Congress, and we know that James Clapper lied to us, they never said anything about it. No Republican, no Democrat ever came after Jim Clapper because he violated the law, violated the Constitution, and then lied to Congress and the American people in a televised hearing, and he got away with it. And that's why you're not supposed to mention the name of Eric CIA Ramella. Chiramella. You're not supposed to mention his name. Why? Because our masters, the intelligence community, say so. And Fox News and CNN, MSNBC and ABC, CBS, NBC, NPR, they'll all do what their master, the real government, says, the CIA. Tells you everything you need to know, how they dance around this whole thing. But we're looking at the Supreme Court decision here, saying that the that Remington can be sued. Now, I had people commenting about that. They said, well, it doesn't mean they're going to win. You can bankrupt people with a lawsuit, right? They don't have any grounds to sue somebody over this. You're going to sue car makers when a terrorist runs people down with their car? All right? We've got now five of the wounded victims, I should say, from the Gilroy Garlic Festival in California, now filing a lawsuit alleging weak security, which, by the way, the Sandy Hook families Didn't do until the 11th hour. I mean, it was like the last day before a three-year statute of limitations filed. They weren't really concerned about school security. They wanted to use this to destroy the Second Amendment and your right to defend yourself. As to whether or not this is a legitimate thing, yeah, you can always accuse people of having negligent security measures. This is a festival ground, however. This is just an open-air festival. This isn't a school, a fixed target, a defenseless area that you've said that. Nobody can have guns. Not even the teachers can have guns. And when we look at this, I don't think that they will win this lawsuit. But again, you can bankrupt people with just a lawsuit, right? Take a look at what happened in China, for example. A mass chemical attack on a school in China leaves 54 injured, mostly children, some of them in severe conditions, very serious condition. 51 children and three teachers in a kindergarten in China. A 23-year-old man scaled a wall to get into the school, then sprayed a corrosive chemical on the students and the teachers. They said it was a caustic soda. They take that as a reference to sodium hydroxide, an industrial chemical commonly used in the manufacture of household products. So are these children in China, are they going to sue the industrial manufacturer of sodium hydroxide because it was used to attack children? In America, they would do that. They would do that only if you wanted to get rid of sodium hydroxide. Because this has absolutely nothing to do with it. They say, oh, well, you know, guns. Guns are manufactured to kill people. No, they're manufactured to defend people. I say they're for defense. And they're being misused, just like a car is being misused if it's used to run people down, as the ISIS bride told everybody to do. Who now says, oh, you need to let me come in here. Look, we have tried alcohol prohibition. How did that work out for us? How has drug prohibition worked out for the last 50 years? Has it worked? No. Has it made everything a lot more dangerous with cartels essentially taking over Mexico and killing people by the dozens, brutally murdering people, chopping people up, not only coming after each other, but a lot of innocent people as well? Has that worked? What do you think is going to happen when we prohibit guns? You think that's going to make guns go away? Did alcohol prohibition make alcohol go away? Or did drug prohibition make marijuana or cocaine or any of these things go away? Actually, it made marijuana much more dangerous, didn't it? Because they prohibited it for so long, they did the same thing that happened under the short prohibition of alcohol. You got more concentrated forms of it. People stopped drinking beer and wine as much during alcohol prohibition, and they started going for hard liquor because that was what was being produced because it was more profitable. And you could get concentrated form and you could move it around. And so our drug prohibition has given us concentrated forms of marijuana through selective breeding and synthetic marijuana and so forth. It's going to give us a much more dangerous society. If you don't understand that, then just take a look at what's going on across the border in Mexico that we are not going to be protected from. Because, you know, the liberals think that it would be harmful to have a wall there. And we can't move the military to our own border to protect us. We got to protect the Kurds. Not the Texans, not the Arizonans. No, we got to protect the Kurds. I had another person come back and say, well, dram shop laws have been on the books for more than 200 years, currently in the majority of states. And so what is the difference between what they're doing with this? And I replied, I said, well, it's all the difference in the world. The dram shop laws regulated the tavern, not the people who made the drink. It regulated the person who was selling the drinks. Because they said, if you're going to sell this to children, we're going to come after you. If you're going to give more drinks to somebody who's already over-intoxicated and a danger to himself and others, we're going to come after you. That's what the dram laws are about. It's not about shutting down the manufacturing of alcohol. Quite frankly, I should have replied to this individual. I said, no, this is really about alcohol prohibition. How'd that work out for us? At least we had the respect for the Constitution to do it legally. We don't have the respect for the Constitution anymore with our war on drugs, which is a UN war on drugs. We don't respect the Constitution when it comes to gun prohibition, which is what is on its way. And now we see another Florida county becoming a Second Amendment sanctuary. I agree. We're going to have to fight this at the local level. However, you can say that you're a sanctuary city, but if the Democrats and their control of these judges and the judiciary system, if they can shut down the people who manufacture guns, if they can shut down the people who manufacture ammunition, then even this approach is not going to work. Even saying, we're not going to confiscate guns, not in this county. Good. You should do that. You should do that. The sheriffs should do that. You should elect people like that. But what if you don't have any guns to buy or any ammunition to buy? Because they've taken a national approach and they've shut down the manufacturers. That's what we really have to be concerned about. All right, folks, I just want to remind you that we have a Black Friday sale, a new sale, a Black Friday sale that's just arrived. We have free shipping, double Patriot points. We have things like Survival Shield X3 Nascent Iodine, 70% off. We have Super Female Vitality at cost at only $29.95. Brain Force Plus is 50% off. Knockout is 50% off. Vaso Beat, our new vasodilator made from beet juice, is 50% off. We have, again, free shipping store-wide. We have our new Super Silver Whitening Toothpaste. You can get bubblegum toothpaste 50% off. Take a look at the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. Free shipping store-wide, double Patriot points, InfoWarsStore.com. All right, we're going to be coming up after the break. They're going to be starting the show trial, the Soviet-style show trial is going to be coming up. And I just want to remind you, as we look at this, were you aware that the impeachment whistleblower that everybody is afraid to name has raised $227,000 on GoFundMe? That's right. CIA employee Eric CIA Ramella has put out that he had his lawyers set up a GoFundMe account. Fox News said it obtained a copy. Now, this is a difficult thing for Fox News to report on because Fox News is afraid to say anything other than this is the anonymous whistleblower. They cannot use his name. And it's kind of interesting because this anonymous whistleblower is getting anonymous donations and they don't know where they're coming from. Are they coming from foreign citizens? Are they coming from James Comey or Obama or George Soros? We don't know. They may have come from prohibited sources, but we don't know because the donations are anonymous gifts and they're being solicited on the fundraising page saying a U.S. intelligence officer needs your help. His name is Eric Ciaramella, C-I-A Ramella. Yeah, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
I spend a lot of time reminding the InfoWars family of listeners and viewers that without you, we won't be on the air. And I spend a lot of time thanking you. But I really think you should thank yourself for keeping us on the air and really changing the world for the better and raising the alarm as modern Paul Revere's. But something I should spend more time on is just reminding you that these products are really amazing. You've got that pledge from me, but you've seen the third-party test out there, the air filtration, the water filtration. The supplements are all the very best you're going to find out there. And you can't fund an operation anywhere else that's fighting the globalist this hard. So it's not a burden to support InfoWars. It really is something that is good for everybody, that stands for justice and freedom and makes your life and your family's life and your children's life so much better. So visit InfoWarsStore.com today. A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Using free speech to free minds. It's The David Knight Show.
Well, coming up soon, we are going to have the public hearing on Capitol Hill. And some people have referred to it as a, we'll call it a feces show. How about that? So in honor of the Democrats, let's talk about what's going on. And as President Trump had previously referred to this, we can't use the same terminology since we're on radio and television, the S-hole countries. And I think he was misquoted. I think what he was saying was S-hole counties. You know, in California, we have, as I pointed out yesterday, San Francisco's district attorney, a guy whose parents were put in jail for killing two police officers and a security guard in a Brinks armored car robbery as they were part of the Weather Underground. And then Bill Ayers and his wife, I guess they're married, I don't know, Bernadine Dorn. It's not appropriate in those circles to take the husband's name. But they beat the rap for bombing and other things with the Weather Underground. And so they raised this kid while his parents were in prison. Now, the mother is out, and she is now a social justice warrior teaching at Columbia University. And this new San Francisco DA, who was endorsed by Bernie Sanders, of course, and had worked in the past for Hugo Chavez. He's one of the Chavez, one of the goon squads down there that were driving motorcycles into people protesting that Marxist leader imposing austerity. And now the wannabe Marxist leaders of the Democrat Party endorsed his being elected as district attorney, saying that he wanted to enact prison reform because he felt for people having visited his parents in prison so many times for murdering multiple people as part of a bank robbery to fund a terrorist organization. But nevertheless, his first pronouncement is that public urination will not be prosecuted in San Francisco. Of course. Quality of life crimes, he said, such as public camping, offering or soliciting sex, public urination, this will not be a crime in San Francisco. You know, just voting Republican or wearing a MAGA cap. Those will be crimes that they will come after. Yeah, you know, public urination. I remember when I lived back in North Carolina, there was a judge who got drunk at a party and he engaged in some public urination out in the backyard. And he was not only thrown out of the party, but he was also thrown off the bench. But this is okay in San Francisco. That will be tolerated. And just to give you an idea of how bad things have gotten in California, a homeless man dumped a bucket of hot diarrhea on an L.A. woman near the Hollywood Walk of Fame. She said it was an unprovoked attack that has left her with PTSD. I'm sure that it has, but I don't know. It was traumatic, but it was also the other T word that was there. It was diarrhea, she said. It was hot liquid. He pulled her in the middle of the street where he dumped a bucket of feces over her head, she said. I was soaked, and it was coming off my eyelashes and into my eyes. Referring to the amount of feces used in the attack, paramedics who treated her said it looked like the man was saving it up for a month. Which, or maybe he had just had, I don't know, maybe he just had oxy powder. I don't know, went on an oxy powder attack. It was so traumatic, she said. The PTSD that I'm dealing with is beyond anything that I've ever felt. There needs to be some kind of help for the victims of these crimes. Is this something that is happening all the time in Los Angeles? People being dragged into the street and having a bucket of feces dumped over their head? And This is not The Onion, folks. This is something that, reported widely by mainstream media. Get this. The guy who did this to her, his name is Blessings. Blessings. arrested on battery charges. Yes, this is what it has come to in California. Public urination will not be prosecuted. And I think this guy ought to be let go by the district attorney if he's anything at all like the San Francisco one.
I've made a lot of predictions that have come true. But I'm here to tell you, most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced, because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As I said, the devil is in detailees. Do you know who detailees are? This is a new term that has been introduced into the vocabulary in the last couple of days. Everybody is repeating it. It's like it was a few years ago when somebody used the term gravitas, and then all the anchors were on the news of gravitas this and gravitas that, right? Our word for the week is now detailees. And who are these detailees? Well, that's the holdover bureaucrats of the intelligence community. This is where this is coming from. And as Washington Times points out, Obama detailees led Trump opposition on the National Security Council. These are people that were left over by from the Obama administration who were opposed to President Trump. Surprise, surprise, you know, just like Comey and Clapper and Brennan. Well, there were other people there as well. Surprise. All these establishment Washington people really didn't like President Trump. They didn't like the fact that he was elected. And so they decided they would overthrow our election, just like they do in other countries. And it was Michael Caputo who said, campaign advisor President Trump, who said Obama clearly left the White House booby-trapped with these detailees. Temporary agency transfers. So these are people like Eric CIA Ramella, that Real Clear Investigations named 15 days ago. Now 15 days and counting. Truth held hostage, right? With mainstream media, the checkbook media, the check mark video. You don't think of that check mark, you know, from who? The intelligence community. They tell you which news sources you can trust. That would be the news sources that repeat the stories that they give them and cover up information from you when they're told to cover up that information. And that would include Fox News. And so we're now 15 days. America held silent over the name of Eric Chiaramella. And, of course, it was an open secret at the time that it was reported by Real Clear Investigations as well. And they make it very clear. Everybody in Washington knows it. That's been all over Twitter and everywhere else. The alleged whistleblower. He's just one of many people. And quite frankly, he wasn't even a whistleblower. You have to have firsthand knowledge of something for this to even be valid. And as we saw from the complaint, I remember being handed that complaint in the middle of this program when President Trump released it. And I started going over it during the program. It's like, look at this. He makes it clear right at the beginning here that he wasn't there at the phone call, that he's talked to other people. In other words, this is hearsay evidence. It's not legally admissible. What is the basis of this complaint? Gossip. Gossip and a narrative put out by the intelligence community that wants to take President Trump down. And of course, people like Bolton, who is coming out, he's allegedly said during private speech with somebody, he says that he's very concerned that President Trump, if he wins, is going to go full isolationist. You understand it's the military-industrial complex, the people who give us endless wars without ever giving us a declaration. These are the people who are running this coup. And I want to play for you the opening statement from the Schiff show that is now unfolding in Washington Live. Let's go ahead and play that.
With that, I now recognize myself to give an opening statement in the impeachment inquiry into Donald J. Trump, the 45th President of the United States. In 2014, Russia invaded the United States ally, Ukraine, to reverse that nation's embrace of the West and to fulfill Vladimir Putin's desire to rebuild a Russian empire. In the following years, 14,000 Ukrainians died
as they
battled superior Russian forces. Earlier this year, Vladimir Zelensky was elected president of Ukraine on a platform of ending the conflict and tackling corruption. He was a newcomer to politics and immediately sought to establish a relationship with Ukraine's most powerful patron, the United States. The questions presented by this impeachment inquiry are whether President Trump sought to exploit that ally's vulnerability and invite Ukraine's interference in our elections, whether President Trump sought to condition official acts, such as a White House meeting or U.S. military assistance, on Ukraine's willingness to assist with two political investigations that would help his reelection campaign. And if President Trump did either, whether such an abuse of his power is compatible with the office of the presidency.
All right, let's just hold it there.
The matter is as simple.
What he is saying, first of all, about Ukraine completely ignores how Victoria Nuland and the State Department helped to engineer the overthrow of that country. Ukraine has been a part of Russia, the Russian Empire, before there was a Soviet Union. And now the Soviet Union isn't there anymore. Crimea was a part of Russia before America got its independence. But they decided, along with George Soros, that they would engineer that. It's a very corrupt government that was there before the one that was in power at the time of the 2016 election. Hopefully this newest government is going to get rid of some of that corruption, and that's one of the things that he had to say about to President Trump. He had been talking about getting rid of the corruption in Ukraine months before he spoke to President Trump. As a matter of fact, that was in the whistleblower complaint. The timeline shows that this had happened months before the phone call. Is there a reason that we should not give money to anybody if they're corrupt? Of course not. We should give money to everybody, right? According to the Democrats. Except they don't give any money to me. I guess I'm not one of those demographics that they like. but anyway, we should give money to everybody without any conditions attached. Look, conditions have always been attached to foreign aid. And unfortunately, we are not selective enough. We typically do give money to corrupt regimes and dictators who keep that money. Absolute nonsense that he's putting out there. Just nothing but lies and misdirection. It is a dog and pony show. And quite frankly, I'm not interested in covering it. So we won't be doing that. But let's talk about something else. Let's give the introduction to Hillary Clinton here. She's back in the play a video clip too. Hillary Clinton is sniffing around at the presidency again. You know, all these Democrats used to like to say there's a war on women. Well, actually, we have war women that are back in the news. Not just Hillary, but we've also got Nikki. Nikki what the Haley. Out there sniffing around the presidency. Yeah, I don't want to see Hillary's face anymore, but she's saying she's under enormous pressure. From many, many people, she wants to get back in the race. Now, she's reluctant. But she tells everybody is pushing me to go in. As I say, never, never, never say never. I will certainly tell you I'm under enormous pressure from many, many, many people. Do you notice that she's repeating herself here? Somebody smack her upside the head so she can get the needle moving here. Many, many, many people want me to think about it. But as of this moment, sitting here in the studio talking to you, that is absolutely not my plan. Oh, of course, that never occurred to me. It was just popular demand that I come back into the race. Of course, I do think about it. I think about it all the time, she said. I think about what kind of a president I would have been all the time. I bet she does. I bet she does. In between throwing plates at Bill Clinton. How obviously I would have been different. How I think I would have been a better, more successful president. Well, she would have been a part of the war machine, wouldn't she? That was one of the things that Julian Assange said. He said, we don't know what Trump is going to be, but we do know that Hillary Clinton is a warmonger and a crook. And we want anybody but her. And I agree with the real whistleblower, the other name that they will not name because they don't want to talk about the fact that he's being murdered for telling you the truth. Eric CIA Remella is being kept quiet. They're protecting him to keep you from the truth. We'll be right back.
The globalists know that I will never willingly give up. I've said it many times. I will never give in. I will never give up, but I could give out. And it's very, very frustrating to see them committing all their crimes against humanity, to see evil running rampant like this, and to know that most Americans have already been silenced in cyberspace, that most Americans have already been shadow banned by big tech. And to know that most Americans feel powerless and don't realize how much power they have by spreading the word about NewsWars.com, InfoWars.com, and Band.video. And that people are hungry for the truth now more than ever. And that if you tell people, hey, the banned truth they don't want you to have is at InfoWars.com/show and Band.video. So take heart, folks. They've had to censor everybody and shut everybody down because the truth is powerful and they can't beat us fair and square. InfoWars Life has done it again with undoubtedly our biggest breakthrough yet. Super Silver Whitening Toothpaste. This is proprietary. This is with the top lab in the country and it is incredibly high quality. This is the best toothpaste you're going to find. It's called whitening toothpaste, but really it knocks out the bacteria, it recalcifies the teeth, it does so many things on so many fronts. These beautiful tubes of Super Silver toothpaste are available at an introductory price of 25% off out of the gates. It's as low as we can go, and they're going to sell out very, very quickly. Super Silver whitening toothpaste is going to be a hit. I'm very, very proud of it. And I want to thank my father, a retired dentist, for spearheading this the last 2 years and developing it. It's 25% off out of the gates. That's as low as we can go because it's very, very expensive to produce. Get yours today at InfoWarsLife.com. There's a famous quote by a Marine Corps general in the Korean War when 3 million Chi-Coms had flooded across the border and surrounded the Marines. More than 50 to 1, some estimates have it. But the point is they were outnumbered, and the general was told, general, we're completely surrounded. He said, good, we can attack in all directions. Well, that's the point that InfoWars has reached. And it really is epic. It really is biblical. And we wouldn't have gone this far without all your support. But it's going to become more critical than ever as the censorship becomes complete. And it's not just Americans, but folks all over the world are completely silenced when it comes to speaking the name of a CIA fake whistleblower or exposing a pedophile or speaking out against dangerous vaccines. Because by InfoWars having its own platform, that checkmates the globalist. A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Articles here that I think perfectly illustrate how America is not just slouching toward Gomorrah, but we're already there. You know, that was the phrase that was used by Judge Bork, his book, Slouching Toward Gomorrah. And take a look at what is happening in Dallas, for example. They have banned churches who want to shelter homeless people during inclement weather, like we're having right now. You know, we're freezing across this country. As a matter of fact, there was a parody article about Greta Thunberg saying that one of her climate change places was shut down because of cold weather. Yeah, it's freezing all the way across the country. If you look at the map of the country, it's pretty much blue everywhere except up in the Northeast where it's purple. You know, purple, the color of frostbite, I guess. I don't know. But that's where the lowest temperatures are. Single digit temperatures pretty much everywhere. But yeah, they keep telling us the world is melting. The polar ice caps are melting. But if you've got people who are freezing on the streets, even in Texas, the local officials in Dallas, even though they haven't added a shelter bed themselves in over a decade, even though, as the Dallas News points out, Dallas officials have scrambled before they decide to open the Kate Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center to shelter some of those living on the streets, and they haven't added any shelter beds in over a decade. They don't want any competition. It's just that simple. You see, when Alexis de Tocqueville came to America from his socialist France, the thing that he was absolutely amazed about was the fact that people voluntarily organized to help individuals in their community. And he realized that this came from their Christian ethic. And he said, unlike in France, you know, we wait for the government to do everything. People here do it themselves. And they do it because they're Christians. And that's the fundamental difference about America at the time that he was here, early 1800s. And that's why you have places like Dallas, where they shut this thing down. They don't want people solving problems on their own. You have to be dependent on them. You got to be dependent on them for education. You got to be dependent on them for housing. You got to be dependent on them for transportation. And if you're poor, you cannot have people in the community coming together with charities, Christian or otherwise, helping these people. They've got to be the ones to help you. They've got to be seen as the God, that's why I call them Godverment, or as the sole benefactor of people in need. They are your protector. That is the whole basis of their power, is to get everybody to run to them. And you know, here in Austin, not only are they stopping churches in Dallas with a zoning restriction, won't let them shelter homeless people when the weather is really bad in their church buildings that they own. Here in Austin, vacant public buildings as well as schools, they've had a new regulation put out said you're not going to be able to rent that to churches on the weekend. My son goes to a church that was paying to rent an empty facility on the weekend. They said, no, you're not going to do that. So now you've got homeless churches. The churches are homeless that are starting up because they don't want the money. They want the power, and they hate any competition. They don't want anybody seen as God other than them. And then in California, the town of Chula Vista, California, where the library, in a desperate bid to make itself relevant, this anachronism, the libraries. You know, we've had circuses go out of business everywhere, right? Why? Because the, you know, it's an anachronism. And also, you know, the clowns with all their weird makeup and everything scare the little kids. And so what we've done, since we don't have Barnum and Bailey anymore, we got the drag queen story hour, and you got these circus freaks wearing heavy makeup scaring the little kids, but the parents are dragging them in. It's like, oh no, you're okay. My wife sent me a picture of one of these drag queen story hours, and the parents are like, yeah, and you know, we love this, and the little kids are absolutely petrified, just like they would be of a circus clown. And I think that's an appropriate analogy. I mean, we've got the Stephen King stories, It. You know, that's the pronoun that the clown chooses, just like these drag queens, It. And that's one of the things that's put people off about the circus. But in Chula Vista, the library that wants to find a new mission, because libraries are just as antiquated, just as much of an anachronism as the circus is, so they have to come up with something, and now they are coalescing across the country around this drag queen story hour. The people in the community, however, did not like the idea that it was going to be there. So they had the vast majority of residents speaking out against this. They did not want the public library used for this. And so the town council decided that they would ignore what the vast majority of people wanted to do, and they would pay the police $42,000 to protect the drag queen story hour from parents. Now, there wasn't any issue of parents getting violent or anything, but they nevertheless spent $42,000 for security so they could have their drag queen story hour. And It could perform for the kids. I think what we need to do is we need to close these libraries. I'm serious about that. If the libraries are going to, across the country, if that's going to be their mission, running drag queen story hours, then I think that we need to stop giving them public money for that. I'm serious about that. They are an obsolete, useless institution anymore in the first place. It's time to let the libraries go. And they can put the homeless people in it. Yes. So they can still be heroes to the community. But, you know, socialism is all about tolerance and inclusivity and kindness, say all the students at Georgetown University and elsewhere. A quote from a Georgetown student. Socialism means multiple people coming together for the benefit of the most instead of the benefit of those contributing the most. You know, from each according to his ability to each according to his needs. That was the motto of the Communist Manifesto, the summary of that. And he had a lot of people who, if you ask them that question, they think that comes from the Bible. It's kind of interesting in my mind that there were so many utopian communes in the early to mid 1800s. And now it's making a comeback. You know, we had the story last week that was on The Guardian about these people in California trying to set up their commune. You know, that's the way the communes were set up. They were communist organizations. And as they failed, many of them tried to pretend that they were Christian. They weren't Christian at all. You know, they were sharing wives. You know, the Oneida commune that was in New York, ironically enough, remembered only for their one bit of capitalist entrepreneurism at the very end of the community. They created silverware, which survived them. But all the rest of the perversion of that community that was based on some kind of an aberrant Christian leader, that all expired. And a lot of these communities, there were tons of them in the mid-1800s. They said these things haven't worked because we haven't gotten the children at an early enough age. That's what's going on right now in your libraries, in your schools. We'll be right back.
I've made a lot of predictions that have come true, but I'm here to tell you, most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced, because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever. I spend a lot of time reminding the InfoWars family of listeners and viewers that without you, we won't be on the air. And I spent a lot of time thanking you. But I really think you should thank yourself for keeping us on the air and really changing the world for the better and raising the alarm as modern Paul Revere's. But something I should spend more time on is just reminding you that these products are really amazing. You've got that pledge from me, but you've seen the third-party test out there, the air filtration, the water filtration. The supplements are all the very best you're going to find out there. And you can't fund an operation anywhere else that's fighting the globalist this hard. So it's not a burden to support InfoWars. It really is something that is good for everybody, that stands for justice and freedom and makes your life and your family's life and your children's life so much better. So visit InfoWarsStore.com today. InfoWars Life has done it again with undoubtedly our biggest breakthrough yet. Super Silver Whitening Toothpaste. This is proprietary. This is with the top lab in the country, and it is incredibly high quality. This is the best toothpaste you're going to find. It's called whitening toothpaste, but really it knocks out the bacteria. It recalcifies the teeth. It does so many things on so many fronts. These beautiful tubes of Super Silver Toothpaste are available at an introductory price of 25% off out of the gates. It's as low as we can go, and they're going to sell out very, very quickly. Super Silver Whitening Toothpaste is going to be a hit. I'm very, very proud of it. And I want to thank my father, a retired dentist, for spearheading this the last 2 years and developing it. It's 25% off out of the gates. That's as low as we can go because it's very, very expensive to produce. Get yours today at InfoWarsLife.com. Beto O'Rourke came out dozens of times and said, we're going to confiscate all your semi-automatic rifles. And he got all the other Democrats on the stage, nine others, to agree and said that he was a hero. Think about that. Now, those Democrats have taken all the guns in the cities they control. Their blue cities are literal crap holes covered with needles and with massive drug dealing and incredible levels of violent crime. They know what they're doing. And now the Supreme Court's come out and ruled that gun manufacturers can be sued into oblivion for what criminals do using their firearms. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen, this country's under such incredible attack. But more and more towns and cities are saying they're sanctuaries for the Second Amendment, and they're going to follow the original Bill of Rights and Constitution, and they're not going to help in the confiscation of guns. So you see, a lot of these cities ignore illegal aliens. Well, we could ignore all your unconstitutional laws.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Reverse engineering the high-tech takeover plan. This is The David Knight Show.
Did you see this about air protein? Meat made from air? We are back. This again is not a parody. It's not a satire. This is not Mel Brooks's Spaceballs, where he had the canned air, Perrier, he called it. Remember that? He would open up a can and just sniff it. And actually, they wound up in the last year, they made canned air in China. Because people are buying it up there because the air is so bad. Now, China does really have very bad air pollution. That's why the Paris Climate Accord gave them a pass. the thing that's worried about global warming and so forth. I said, well, we're not going to do anything to improve China and India's air quality. We're going to allow them to continue to build very crude, dirty power plants, and they can build as many of them as they want. On the other hand, the United States and Europe, you've got to shut your power grid down, you know, like they're doing in California. But yeah, air protein, a meat made from air is what they're telling everybody. This is CNET. This is coming from the Bay Area in California. Where else, you know? I tell you what, you know, based on what's going on in California, I'd be very concerned about what's in this quote-unquote meat. And I'd be very concerned about the air. You've probably seen those pictures of the Greta Thunberg poster that's there. Many people have compared it to Big Brother and so forth. But she's got this disconcerting look on her face. Maybe she is smelling the streets of San Francisco. But, yeah, they have a meatless meat and air-based meat, they say. Air Protein is the name of the company. They today announced the launch of an air-based meat substance. And you can make anything out of it that you want. You can be burgers, chicken, turkey, you know, so maybe it's some kind of a tofu type of thing. They said it consists of elements that are found in the air. Guess what? Carbon dioxide is the first one they mentioned there. Can, you know what? I would support this if it would get these people off of our backs about carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is actually meat or food, if you will, for the plants, of course, but they want to call it a poison, a pollutant. No, it's what we breathe out and what the plants breathe in. It's a wonderfully designed complementary system. And yet they want to pretend that that is a problem. It's not a problem. You can even make meat out of it now, according to these people. Carbon dioxide, oxygen, nitrogen, blended with water and mineral nutrients to create a base. Yeah, it's the mineral nutrients that they're really talking about there. But folks, it's real meat that is actually a good thing. It's good for you. We ought to, maybe that's why we ought to call the red states red. You know, that was something that they did to disguise the fact that the blue states, the so-called blue states, really are red. Red in terms of Marxism and communism. That's always been the flag of the communist anarchists, the socialists, and so forth. Red. But they switch it around. Maybe we could call the red states, we could say they're named after red meat. Red meat is the most perfect food for humans. Closely followed by milk, says Professor Richard Picard. An emeritus professor of neurobiology at Cardiff University. He said the agricultural industry had been, quote, the butt of an enormous journalistic effort to sell copy by producing totally indefensible headlines about red meat causing cancer. He hit out at the International Agency for Research on Cancer report, which claimed that processed meats definitely cause cancer and that lean red meat probably causes cancer. Well, he made a distinction between real meat and processed meat. You know, processed meat like this air protein, where they mix anonymous things together with air to miraculously, you know, everything that you manufacture has got has been mixed with air at some point. Let's just produce in a vacuum. He says there's not a single proven case of eating red meat actually causing cancer. This is not an objective scientific analysis. This has been put together by people who have their own agenda. Oh, yeah, imagine that. Which has nothing to do with the nutritional benefit of red meat products. Look at the listing into which they put processed meat. You've got arsenic. You've got diesel exhaust. You've got plutonium. No serious scientist would do this. If you feed plutonium to laboratory mice, they'll develop tumors, sometimes within days. After about 3 or 4 weeks, they'll all be developing tumors. If you feed processed meat to the same lab mice, they'll just get fat. He went on to say that this has not had a, he's not had a single complaint from the authors of the report that he's been pushing back against, but he said, I have had a lot of letters from other people in the scientific community and practicing doctors saying, thank you very much for putting the record straight. Remember we have all these, you know, milk is bad, butter is bad, eggs are bad, now they're good, and, you know, it just keeps going back and forth. He goes on to say, red meat is the most nutritious food you have available on your plate. It contains all the minerals, all the vitamins, all the protein amino acids required in the correct ratio, and all the fats which are required in the correct ratio. It's the most perfect food for a human being. Coming close behind it is milk. Babies build their entire bodies getting nothing but milk for months and months. And yet, dairies are going out of business rapidly. And people like AOC want to ban you from getting meat as well. Because people like it, they're going to have to just ban it, just like they're going to ban cars. But the Wisconsin dairy crisis, they said we're losing 2 farms a day. It's possible that nearly 10% of Wisconsin dairy farmers may go out of business in 2019. They said between the weather, the crops that you can't get off the field, look at the bills that you can't pay, the suicide rates in Wisconsin have spiked over the last few years. They said farming is a stressful occupation in and of itself, but when you start adding financial stress on top of it, it's just going to add more stress. Farmers can't pay their bills. They have no extra money. They have people honing down their neck looking to pay bills. They're going to banks and they can't get loans or literally being denied loans. But it's not a problem for us to stand behind and pay off the loans of all these people who got degrees in, let's say, women's studies, right? We're going to let the dairy farmers go out of business because the banks aren't going to give them money. But the Democrats are right there for all these people with their liberal arts degrees. Emphasis on the liberal. You can get a degree in basket weaving as long as it's got social justice interwoven in it, and they will pay that off. Not going to pay off any of the farm debt. No, 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 no. Instead, what's really going on, you know, when you talk about income inequality, you want to talk about concentration of wealth, where is wealth really being concentrated? Yeah, there's a few individuals who are getting ridiculously wealthy, the technocratic elite. They're doing it with the help of government. You don't have any monopolies unless the government contributes to protecting those industries and regulating their competition out of existence. But the place where you're getting the most concentration of wealth and power is in Washington, D.C. That's really where the wealth is being redistributed, along with the power. And I've said many times, if you want to have election reform, you start by getting rid of the power first. The money follows the power. You put the power in Washington, the money is going to get there. Back in 2000, George Bush was accused by Al Gore buying the election because he spent $100 million. They wouldn't even look at you twice if you only had $100 million today. We're more than 10 times that, way more than 10 times that. You got people spending that kind of money for small statewide races now. It's absolutely insane. And the reason that's happening is because of the power that has been taken. It's not their power. They've usurped this. They have lied about the Constitution that they swore to uphold. In addition to these other milk producers going out of business in Wisconsin, the number one milk company here in Texas, it's actually the number one nationwide, they had to declare bankruptcy as well. So people are, you know, getting stuff like soda juice, you know, the things that have lots of sugar in them, instead of drinking milk. You know, because milk's got a bad rap with some of these people, right? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
There's a famous quote by a Marine Corps general in the Korean War when 3 million Chi-Coms had flooded across the border and surrounded the Marines. More than 50 to 1, some estimates have it. But the point is they were outnumbered, and the general was told, "General, we're completely surrounded." He said, "Good, we can attack in all directions." Well, that's the point that InfoWars has reached. And it really is epic. It really is biblical. And we wouldn't have gone this far without all your support. But it's going to become more critical than ever as the censorship becomes complete. And it's not just Americans, but folks all over the world are completely silenced when it comes to speaking the name of a CIA fake whistleblower or exposing a pedophile or speaking out against dangerous vaccines. Because by InfoWars having its own platform, that checkmates the globalists. About a month ago, President Trump announced that he was going to move his domicile from New York City to Florida, where he's always said he planned to retire to. And the left got so excited. They said, oh, he's about to resign and leave instead of facing impeachment, and he's running to Florida. Well, now we know why the president did that. He knew the leftist controlled appeals courts were going to say that he had to give up his tax returns so they can pour over them and harass every business partner he's got. They want to terrorize people that he's worked with. And by moving his domicile from New York to Florida, that gets around the New York law they passed to get his tax returns that are supposed to be private. So all those people out there holding their breath for the president to resign, in his words, we're kicking the deep state's ass, and he's never going to resign. The globalists know that I will never willingly give up. I've said it many times. I will never give in. I will never give up, but I could give out. And it's very, very frustrating to see them committing all their crimes against humanity, to see evil running rampant like this, and to know that most Americans have already been silenced in cyberspace, that most Americans have already been shadow banned by big tech, and to know that most Americans feel powerless and don't realize how much power they have by spreading the word about NewsWars.com, InfoWars.com, and Band.video, and that people are hungry for the truth now more than ever, and that if you tell people, hey, the banned truth they don't want you to have is at InfoWars.com/show and Band.video. So take heart, folks. They've had to censor everybody and shut everybody down because the truth is powerful and they can't beat us fair and square. A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Joining us in this segment from the UK is journalist Anna Breeze. And she is an independent journalist who was offered a full-time job at the BBC, turned it down because she was really more interested in getting to the truth. So we're going to talk to her about the state of journalism, state of free speech in the UK, also some things that are happening there as we have our own Epstein issue. We have parallel things that have been happening in the UK that I think many Americans are not aware of that go beyond Jeffrey Epstein. Before we go to Anna, just real quickly, I want to remind you about the sale that we have just begun. Black Friday sales have arrived. We have free shipping, double Patriot points. We have Survival Shield X-ray nascent iodine, 70% off. We have DNA Force Plus, 50% off. Huge savings. We also have, on that particular product, it's a very expensive product to produce. 50% off is a big dollar savings. We have BrainForce Plus, 50% off. Knockout, our all-natural sleep aid, 50% off. VasoBeat, one of our newer products, our vasodilator made out of concentrated beet juice. Very effective, 50% off right now. And we also have our newest product, our Super Silver Whitening Toothpaste. Joining our line of Super Silver and toothpaste that has nano silver in it to fight bacteria and viruses, also has no fluoride in it, but it has a good halogen, iodine. We have that in two flavors, and now we have a whitening version of that. Natural ingredients to whiten your teeth. You can find all that discounted at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, free shipping, double Patriot points, discounts across the board as part of our early Black Friday sales. All right, joining us now is Anna Breeze. You can find her on Twitter at Breeze Anna. That's B-R-E-E-S Anna. And she has a book out, Making the News, talking about the power of mobile journalism. And, of course, one of the things that's an issue with mobile journalism here in the United States is the fact that we have a technocratic elite that have decided that they're going to take control of the digital public square. Thank you for joining us, Anna.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Talk to us a little bit about the situation that you're facing in the UK. I know that speech restrictions there are even greater than we have here in the United States because they don't even have to pretend to follow the First Amendment. They have to do that here, so they get their partners to control our speech for them, you know, the corporations who said that they have a digital public square, but they're going to tell us who's going to be allowed in their digital public square. How are things in the UK right now for journalism?
Well, I think there's a few things that people are talking about quite a lot here in the UK, and one of them is obviously Julian Assange, who's in Belmarsh Prison, mm-hmm. solitary confinement. And a film's just come out with Keira Knightley, The Official Secrets, where she portrays an individual who worked at GCHQ in Cheltenham. And I went to see the film the other day, actually. Have you got that film over there?
I haven't seen it, no. She was
a whistleblower. She was working for GCHQ, and she leaked an email which kind of suggested that the American security services were asking the UK to dig dirt up on individuals in prior to a UN Security Council vote on whether to go to war or not. And that film has come out. And I think, you know, people are... I don't know. There is a change, and I would say it's quite a positive change in that people are using their mobiles to get their message out and to build up their own channels and to broadcast directly to the public. And with the upcoming election on the 12th of December, lots and lots of politicians are just bypassing the media, the mainstream media now, and going straight to Twitter, especially a lot of MPs. They're doing mm-hmm. it, and they know how to do Facebook boosting as well. I work with some Conservative MPs in an area in Somerset, and they're kind of getting a hang of it. They get started. Some of them know, some of them are not so with it, about how, you know, you can create pretty good professional content with a mobile device, put subtitles right. on, and get your message out directly to the public now.
Right, and when we look at the First Amendment here in America, you know, we have several different components. You know, there's free exercise of religion, but we also have the free press mentioned specifically there, but also free speech, which is really about the public's speech. And public was getting very aware, very involved on Twitter, on other social media, and that's why we've now seen a big pushback against that. Just before the last election, you may be aware of the fact that we were shut down on social media. And then 2 months later, which you may not be aware of, we had another 800 independent outlets that were purged. Most of them were outlets that they were not predominantly any particular political point of view. They were people who were against the intelligence, surveillance, police state, and against endless wars, that type of thing, just exactly like you're talking about the whistleblower story there in the UK, or what's going on with Julian Assange. It's the enemies of the intelligence services. And, you know, you talk about the fictional story about, I don't know if it's based on a true story, about somebody talking about a connection between London and Langley, you know, the CIA trying to manufacture evidence on people. Yeah, we got a trial that just started here in the United States that kind of follows along those lines. I mean, we've had the dirty dossier that came out of the UK and the alliance of politicians that were, you know, opposed to President Trump and opposed to the election, that worked to put together information there. It's a pattern that is really well established.
Yeah, I would say here, though, the only person that's been removed completely off all social media is Tommy Robinson. Mm-hmm. I don't really have a feeling that that's happening to anyone else, and I'm very outspoken when it comes to VIP paedophiles and an establishment cover-up of child abuse. And I haven't been restricted in any way, and I'm not aware of anyone else that I'm connected with that has been. But I'm very kind of, I'm all about bypassing the mainstream media, giving people a chance to get their message out. I don't call it social media, I call it new media, and I don't call it alternative media, I call it new media. And I think that people are, do have the power to get their message out. And if you, you know, I'm very, very much, you know, this is the new, this is the future, this is the place where we communicate and get our message out. And I'm, I would say that I'm probably saying exactly what these social media platforms want me to say, YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, because I'm championing them. And nothing has been restricted me at all. I've not had any restrictions whatsoever. In fact, you know, I started all of my social media channels 2 years ago, and now on Twitter I can get up to 140, 50,000 views on some of my posts just through organic share. I don't pay to boost anything on Twitter. I have paid on Facebook, but not Twitter. So no, there are no restrictions in the media from my perspective, apart from the very far right, Tommy Robinson. Are you aware of Tommy Robinson? And BBC Panorama, they basically were doing an undercover expose on him. And the individual from BBC Panorama is a presenter and producer called John Sweeney. He was at the BBC for 17 years, and he's just left. We don't know if he, you know, they got rid of him because of that undercover footage that they got on him. But if anyone's interested in that, it's all over YouTube, and it's called Panodrama. Tommy Robinson did some undercover footage of John Sweeney, and he's left.
What was Sweeney doing? I'm not aware of that. What was the undercover footage that Tommy Robinson got of him? What was he doing or saying that was?
It looks like BBC Panorama had been commissioned. I suppose, I don't know. They were on the hunt for Tommy Robinson and the power he was having. So Tommy Robinson could do a Facebook Live, and within 10, 20 minutes, he'd have hundreds of thousands of views, also across YouTube. And it was there was a real momentum gathering behind what he was saying. He did a Facebook Live outside a court case, and he basically went to jail for contempt of court, and there was a huge outcry, but he was kind of championing, you know, anti-media, anti-establishment, also sort of not feeling that the established or corporate legacy media were failing to represent the truth.
Yeah, there were stories that they would not cover. And I talked to Tommy Robinson. I had the last interview with him before he was whisked off to jail. And he showed up to do that. And they said, well, you know, you were told that you couldn't film these individuals. And he said, well, that's not what was on your website. That was changed after the fact. But the bottom line is that the BBC would not cover that. And, of course, you know, prior to that, you know, as they whisked him away, they put a gag order on all of the British media. And everybody pretty much followed along with that. You mentioned the Westminster pedophile scandal, and I want to explain that to get you to explain that to our audience when we come back. Give us an update on that, because of course you have a very famous pedophile in the past there that BBC's covered up for, Jimmy Savile, but there's other aspects in that as well. We'll be right back with Anna Breeze from the UK. Stay with us.
Beto O'Rourke came out dozens of times and said, we're going to confiscate all your semi-automatic rifles. And he got all the other Democrats on the stage, nine others, to agree and said that he was a hero. Think about that. Now, those Democrats have taken all the guns in the cities they control. Their blue cities are literal crap holes covered with needles and with massive drug dealing and incredible levels of violent crime. They know what they're doing. And now the Supreme Court's come out and ruled that gun manufacturers can be sued into oblivion for what criminals do using their firearms. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen, this country's under such incredible attack. But more and more towns and cities are saying they're sanctuaries for the Second Amendment, and they're going to follow the original Bill of Rights and Constitution, and they're not going to help in the confiscation of guns. So you see, a lot of these cities ignore illegal aliens. Well, we could ignore all your unconstitutional laws. I spend a lot of time reminding the InfoWars family of listeners and viewers that without you, we won't be on the air. And I spend a lot of time thanking you. But I really think you should thank yourself for keeping us on the air and really changing the world for the better and raising the alarm as modern Paul Revere's. But something I should spend more time on is just reminding you that these products are really amazing. You've got that pledge from me, but you've seen the third-party test out there, the air filtration, the water filtration, the supplements are all the very best you're going to find out there. And you can't fund an operation anywhere else that's fighting the globalist this hard. So it's not a burden to support InfoWars. It really is something that is good for everybody, that stands for justice and freedom and makes your life and your family's life and your children's life so much better. So visit InfoWarsStore.com today.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're talking to journalist Anna Breeze. She turned down a job at the BBC because she actually wanted to do journalism. And, of course, the BBC would not cover the grooming gangs. That's why Tommy Robinson did, and so they came after him pretty hard. But Anna is right. There is a very important role to be played by citizen journalists. And you can do that and do a quality job. That's what she talks about at her website and with her book, Making the News. But it's not just the grooming gangs that they shut Tommy Robinson down for. And it's not even really just Jimmy Savile. I think that's a different scandal, isn't it, than the Westminster pedophile ring? The Westminster pedophile ring involved politicians there in the UK. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is correct. And I what's so exciting, really, and what's been happening over the last few years is people are getting video evidence and they are getting the truth, and it is forcing these individuals and these establishments and corporations to have to, and forcing them to come out and say, apologize and produce statements. And, you know, I know a little bit about the Epstein story and how Prince Andrew was seen at the door of Epstein's house in 2010. And for some reason, somebody held on to that video for 9 years. And when it came out in 2019, this year, the royal household, the press team from the royal household did have to produce a statement and say, yes, you know, they actually said, gave a statement, whereas before they'd been ignoring it. But I just think that it's an incredible time at the moment that we're living in, where we do have the opportunity to get this truth out via a mobile phone device, which we've all got, and yeah, all these platforms on which to publish. That's what it's all about. It's about producing and publishing. And that's,
and I think we're also seeing people who are
go back to the BBC.
Yeah, and I think we see people who are really fed up with the corruption and the control. I don't know if you're aware of it, we had a reporter for ABC News, Amy Robach, and there was a candid admission from her after the Epstein stuff finally did break because they couldn't control it anymore. She said, I had all this stuff 3 years ago, and they told me to spike it because they didn't want to burn their relationship with Buckingham Palace. They wanted to get interviews with Kate and Will, and they also didn't want me to say anything about the Clintons. Well, of course they didn't, because her boss was a White House communications director and a senior advisor for the Clintons when they had the White House and working on their campaign. So they spiked that kind of stuff just as they did with Jimmy Savile at the BBC. I mean, after he died, there was a BBC documentary there, right? And that got canned, even after it was done, it got canned by the BBC officials.
Yes, it did. And it's outrageous that they were covering up for a paedophile, and it looks like that was happening for many years. And BBC Panorama did a piece on BBC News, about BBC News tonight, saying, what did the BBC know? But, you know, there's an individual called Marion Jones who came out, and it was in the national newspapers here, saying that everyone who tried to expose Savile, they were seen as traitors, and they got rid of them. You know, the BBC executives who keep their mouth shut appeared to be the ones that they kept on. And
well, it's what you were just saying about Tommy Robinson, the fact that the BBC came after him. They were told, go get this guy.
All of your viewers, I really, honestly, really, really strongly recommend that they go and find the undercover footage of BBC Panorama, a chap called John Sweeney, and the methods that they use to produce their programs. And there's another BBC Panorama program called Saving Syria's Children from 2013. And again, real concerns. And your audience may not be aware, but BBC Panorama is the creme de la creme of investigative journalism, or had been seen that way, had a global brand. And if BBC Panorama have been are guilty of this, and this mobile with this video footage suggests that they are fabricating, you know, evidence to against individuals like Tommy Robinson, or, you know, to support a particular view on the war in Syria, then that brings into question all of their content, I think. You know,
exactly.
Certainly BBC Panorama.
Exactly. I think what we've seen this last weekend, we got to take a quick break. Can you stay over past the break?
Yes, Anna? I can, yeah.
Good. All right, we'll be right back with Anna Breeze. And what we've seen this last week, and all the major news media outlets, even the ones who favor President Trump, nobody will say the name of the alleged whistleblower. All they have to do is say it's been alleged by Real Clear Investigations.
I've made a lot of predictions that have come true, but I'm here to tell you, most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced, because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're talking to Anna Breeze from the UK. And again, you can find her on Twitter at Breeze. That's B-R-E-E-S, Anna. Breeze, Anna. And we're talking about the state of journalism, both in the United States and the UK. Anna was talking about the fact that the BBC and other news organizations have not only covered up information that the government wanted covered up, or spun stories the way they want them spun, whether it's wars in Syria or whether it is covering up for pedophiles like Jimmy Savile, or even going after Tommy Robinson when he started exposing the grooming gangs that they didn't want to talk about. They got together in the most premier documentary news source there, Panorama, decided that they were going to come after Tommy Robinson. You know, Anna, this reminds me very much of what we saw here in America. Gary Webb exposed how our government created the crack cocaine epidemic in order to help fund the secret war in Central America, part of what they did with the Iran-Contra scandal. But they also had a crack cocaine side to that. He won a lot of awards. And then to take him down, the intelligence community got people at the LA Times. They got about a dozen people that worked full time to try to discredit Gary Webb and to take him down. His story is told in Dark Alliance. I actually did a movie about that a few years ago. But yeah, this is the sort of thing that we see happening all the time by governments, whether it's in the United States or in the UK.
Yeah, I agree. But I really don't think that the established corporate legacy media can take us down anymore. I think that things are changing, and money, you know, these news organizations exist because, well, the BBC, they have a license fee, but the rest of them, they only exist because of advertising. So, you know, if people are going to stop trusting these established broadcasting brands and they're starting to go to new media platforms, then the money will have to follow, the advertisers will have to follow, and they will, and they're just slow to take up at the minute, which is why it's such an interesting year. Look what's happened in the last year or two. You know, your predictions for 2019, it's speeding up, it's accelerated. I do have a lot of faith and trust in the public that they will start taking action. You know, I don't want us to get into this cynical, dark hole where we just don't believe anything anymore. We can take action, and we can start putting our trust and faith in the new platforms in a new type of truth. And what the only reason I'm doing all of this is for children, vulnerable children. If we look after our children, a lot of society's problems will go away. And, you know, you wanted to talk to me about the Westminster paedophile cover-up, Bill. Mm-hmm. There's an independent government inquiry at the moment going on called the Independent Inquiry into Child Sexual Abuse. And in March, we had three or four senior police officer whistleblowers come forward. And this was not reported. There was one or two articles in our newspapers, but it wasn't all over the press at all. You know, we weren't told about, for example, Paul Holmes, former detective inspector, Andrew Surplice, former detective inspector, Howard Groves, former chief inspector, talking about how they were asked to cover up the VIP paedophiles back in the 80s and 90s. And I'm in contact with people at the moment. Nothing new I can reveal right now, but politicians in the last decade, similar kind of accusations in relation to paedophilia. This has to stop.
So this is stuff that was going back to the 80s or 90s. It started to surface, maybe about 5 years or so ago. They had a whole bunch of files go missing.
There was a dossier that was handed by an MP called Geoffrey Dickens that went missing. It was handed to someone called Leon Britton. Now, this is back in the day where we didn't have this, you know, this option to release documents, share video, communicate with each other. We could easily mm-hmm. be silenced. People could easily be bullied and silenced. Victims of abuse and injustice did not have a voice. But we do now. Things are changing. Things are changing, and it's an exciting time. But, you know, even though all of the testimonies of these senior police officers, an award-winning journalist called Don Hale has come forward and said the Home Office were funding PIE, the Paedophile Information Exchange. Their testimonies on oath are on YouTube, on the Independent Inquiry into Child Sexual Abuse, their live stream. I'm the one who's pushing this. The communications team of that in ICSA are not pushing it. I am. I'm doing everything that I can to. Newspaper journalists are not watching the testimonies. They're not pushing the testimonies. These stories are not getting out, but we can do it.
What was alleged that was going on back in the 80s and 90s that began to become more public about 5 years or so ago? Not just the fact that you had individual politicians who were accused of pedophile activity, but there were allegations of an actual ring. What was the allegations
well,
about
Tom
the
Watson,
ring aspect?
The MP Tom Watson, who was the deputy leader of the Labour Party, he came forward and he posed a question in Parliament, and that kind of kicked it all off. And that's what kicked off the independent inquiry into child sexual abuse. And then something called Operation Conifer. It was a £1.5 million investigation led by someone called Chief Constable Mike Veal. Looked into the former Prime Minister Edward Heath. And 40 people came forward alleging sexual abuse by the former Prime Minister Edward Heath. They, in their report, say that 7 of those would have led to him being brought in for questioning. I've interviewed somebody called Michael Tarriger, and we put together a book called Meat Rat Boy, where he talks about being sexually abused by the former Prime Minister Edward Heath. I know someone else called James Reeves, who alleges he witnessed it. And I also know what's happened to the Chief Constable Mike Veal since that £1.5 million investigation where he was the head of Wiltshire Police into the former Prime Minister Edward Heath. So, you know, we all know about Jimmy Savile. Mm-hmm. There's a lot about Carl Beach. It's probably not something you're aware of, but there was something called the Nick Trial. An individual was put forward as a liar and a fraudster, and they found out he was a paedophile. And I think it was put forward as a misinformation campaign to detract from the truth. I think the establishment and certain senior politicians have been covering up for, you know, there were a number of politicians, very senior politicians in the past, potentially in the recent past as well, that like having sex with young boys.
Yeah, it's a real power trip for these people.
And it's been used to control them as well by the whip.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's been used as a form of blackmail, and I think we underestimate the power of blackmail. You know, mm-hmm. if you have information on an individual, what can you get them to do?
And I believe that was really the essence of the... I think that was the essence of what Epstein was doing.
Blackmail.
Yeah, I think that was the essence of what Epstein was doing, working for intelligence agencies, Israeli CIA and others, so they could get people in a situation where they could then later blackmail them. You know, I don't know if you're aware of Dennis Hastert. He was our longest sitting Republican Speaker of the House. And he was a pedophile before, and a known pedophile to many individuals, before he ever ran for Congress the first time. And they elevated him to become Speaker of the House. Why? Oh, because he was a black male individual.
I mean, you could have a girl who's 14 but looks 16 in a room waiting for you, put a politician in there, having a dinner party, say Epstein did this with some up-and-coming politician, get them mm-hmm. in a compromising position, get the video. You can then control everything that they do and say from that point onwards because you have that mm-hmm. video and they're scared.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
And it
is
seems
that how
to be
politics has been? Is that what how politics has been working now?
Mm-hmm.
We see a certain world, but what's really going on behind the scenes with this blackmail, with this video, we don't really know.
Well, I guess the key thing that's going to break that open is going to be, number one, whistleblowers and, you know, people who actually do know what's going on there. And then it's going to be the public who is going to circulate that information around. I mean, when we look at what's going on with Tommy Robinson, we look at what's going on with Julian Assange. The press does not want to talk about these individuals, but the individuals who are out there on social media can really overwhelm that. I mean, they can't shut down everybody on social media if everybody wants to share this.
Yeah, and I think that there's a crowd, especially here in the UK, that watch the broadcasting brands we all trust over here. So in the four-channel era, BBC One, BBC Two, Channel 4, ITV. But that generation are going off now. I mean, my mum, for example, loves the BBC, but my children don't know who the BBC are. They don't watch any BBC content. So, you know, we have to be aware that it's going to take some time, but people are going to start trusting and listening to other sources and victims of abuse and injustice and whistleblowers. You know, you look into someone's eyes and you hear their story and you know whether they're telling the truth. You know in your heart whether they're telling the truth. And it
Absolutely.
Doesn't match up with the old media. I don't call it mainstream media. It doesn't match up with what we're hearing from these. They're arrogant.
Have a real credibility crisis that is one of their own making. Thank you so much for joining us again, Anna Breeze. You can find her on Twitter at Breeze Anna. That's BreezeAnna. Thank you very much, Anna.
Thank you.
There's a famous quote by a Marine Corps general in the Korean War when 3 million Chi-Coms had flooded across the border and surrounded the Marines. More than 50 to 1, some estimates have it. But the point is they were outnumbered, and the general was told, "General, we're completely surrounded." He said, "Good, we can attack in all directions." Well, that's the point that InfoWars has reached. And it really is epic. It really is biblical. And we wouldn't have gone this far without all your support. But it's going to become more critical than ever as the censorship becomes complete. And it's not just Americans, but folks all over the world are completely silenced when it comes to speaking the name of a CIA fake whistleblower or exposing a pedophile or speaking out against dangerous vaccines. Because by InfoWars having its own platform, that checkmates the globalists. InfoWars Life has done it again with undoubtedly our biggest breakthrough yet. Super Silver Whitening Toothpaste. This is proprietary. This is with the top lab in the country, and it is incredibly high quality. This is the best toothpaste you're going to find. It's called whitening toothpaste, but really it knocks out the bacteria. It recalcifies the teeth. It does so many things on so many fronts. These beautiful tubes of Super Silver toothpaste are available at an introductory price of 25% off out of the gates. It's as low as we can go, and they're going to sell out very, very quickly. Super Silver Whitening Toothpaste is going to be a hit. I'm very, very proud of it. I want to thank my father, a retired dentist, for spearheading this the last 2 years and developing it. It's 25% off out of the gates. That's as low as we can go because it's very, very expensive to produce. Get yours today at InfoWarsLife.com. A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them. The globalists know that I will never willingly give up. I've said it many times, I will never give in. I will never give up, but I could give out. And it's very, very frustrating to see them committing all their crimes against humanity, to see evil running rampant like this, and to know that most Americans have already been silenced in cyberspace, that most Americans have already been shadow banned by big tech, and to know that most Americans feel powerless and don't realize how much power they have by spreading the word about NewsWars.com, InfoWars.com, and Band.Video, and that people are hungry for the truth now more than ever, and that if you tell people, hey, the banned truth they don't want you to have is at InfoWars.com/show and Band.Video. So take heart, folks. They've had to censor everybody and shut everybody down because the truth is powerful and they can't beat us fair and square.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As we were just talking to Anna, I gotta say, I truly believe that we can beat this censorship. It is a information war. We've known that for a long time. That's why we're called InfoWars. There is a war on for your mind, and there is a war on for the truth, and there is a war on against the American people, a war against our sovereignty by the globalists who desire to have a world government. And the first casualty in a war is truth. Way before the shooting starts, it's the truth that is shut down. And just as we have the scene, especially in the last week or so, we see the legacy media, like I like to call them, I think I'm going to start using this term all the time, the checkmark media. You know, they have that little validation mark from NewsGuard. NewsGuard is run by Microsoft, and Microsoft is being run in this and funded in this by DARPA. That is a military-industrial complex, giving everybody that little check mark. You tell people what we want to say. Whatever narrative we come up with, no matter how absurd it is, you parrot that, and you repeat that over and over again until people believe it. Well, you know, the good news is that, as I've said before, even in Russia, where they only had two news outlets, they had Pravda and Izvestia. Pravda meant truth. Izvestia meant news. They said there is no truth in Pravda. There is no news in Izvestia. The people were not fooled by that, even when they only had two outlets. We have a much better situation, even with all of the censorship that has now been imposed by social media. You had the checkmark and the checkbook media, the people who have pretty much unlimited funding, and the validation of authority from the government sources. You know, they send the government officials to appear on their programs. That helps to validate their authority. They are authoritative sources. See, they've talked to these people. Well, you and I don't need to actually, I don't need to talk to a government official to analyze what they're having to say, to deconstruct what they're having to say, to point out how what they're saying today was different from what they said a week ago, a year ago, 10 years ago. So we don't need to have direct access to them to analyze whether or not they're telling the truth or not. Not necessary. But as they were collapsing, and President Trump was a big part of that, calling out them for their lies, for their bias, as their credibility was collapsing, they were losing because of our access to be able to speak to each other. And so they began to shut down social media. A good example of this is Facebook being sued now for censoring posts that name the so-called whistleblower. A Connecticut law student, Cameron Atkinson, said he wanted to test whether the social network was blocking posts that mentioned the identity ascribed to the whistleblower by conservative media outlets. Now, this is a story from Bloomberg. They will not use the name Eric CIA Romella anywhere in this. They all, anonymous whistleblower, identity, blah, blah, blah. They won't use his name. They'll do a story about somebody using his name, but they won't use his name. So, he called the whistleblower, Eric CIA Romella, a hero in one point. He called Eric Chiramella a dirty rat in another and said in a third post that he had conflicting thoughts about naming the person publicly. All three posts were removed within hours, according to a complaint that was filed yesterday in federal court. All of them were removed by Facebook. Facebook. They will continue to try to control our speech and what you are able to see and hear. Just remember the monkeys, you know, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. They don't want you to see or hear anything that they think is going to be damaging to them or to their narrative. And they don't want you to be able to speak. And we have to understand that the established social media that is out there, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google, all these things, we are going to have to find different constructs that are out there. You know, it's the same problem that you have in the electoral cycle. We know that the two establishment parties are totally bankrupt. Financially bankrupt, morally bankrupt, legally bankrupt, bankrupt in every way, shape, and form. They're putting up awful candidates. They're not telling us the truth and so forth. But how do you get away from that and establish an independent party? You know, a new political party or get two independent candidates. You know, it's always this critical mass. Or you have it even within the party where you have somebody who wants to run on a constitutional agenda, let's say within the Republican Party, or conservatives, and they divide the conservative vote and the old establishment person slips through. And that's kind of the situation we've got right now with social media. We got a lot of people out there who've started competing platforms, and it's difficult for any of them to get critical mass. They're all competing against each other. Meanwhile, there's this giant out there where everybody is. But we're going to have to move to different social media in the same way that people have moved away from the legacy media, away from the checkmark checkbook media. We're going to have to move away from the checkbook social media that is so large out there. It's going to be difficult to figure out how to do this, but we will get that sorted out. And one of the examples I think that is happening with this is we see how rigged this entire thing is. I think the entire establishment, the political establishment, the actual government, the CIA, as well as the corrupt media that is absolutely will not say the name of the whistleblower, the alleged whistleblower. And again, Real Clear Investigations made a great case about that and said everybody in Washington knows it. It's all over social media. Here's where the guy's coming from. It matches. Everybody knows this. We got people speaking on condition of anonymity who know the situation, who know the whistleblower and so forth. And this is a whistleblower who really isn't blowing the whistle on anything. He didn't witness anything. Facebook says any mention of the potential whistleblower's name, the potential whistleblower's name, potential whistleblower, violates our coordinating harm policy, which prohibits content outing of witness. Well, he didn't witness anything. He said so in the complaint. He didn't witness anything. Informant. Well, if he didn't witness anything, he can't inform us about anything, right? Or activist. Now, he might qualify for that. He is a CIA activist. The alleged whistleblower, Eric CIA Romella, is an activist. Just like John Brennan and James Clapper and James Comey are activists. Activists of a corrupt government that decides that they know who's going to be, who needs to be in power, and they're going to overthrow our elections. The amazing thing about all of this is that this has all been going on for quite some time, but their corruption has reached such a level of arrogance that these people now come out and, you know, become commentators on CNN and MSNBC. In the same way that we knew that the CIA was pulling the strings behind the scenes to get certain countries companies that were going to work with them to get them to advance and to succeed. And then in the late 90s, they just came out and, you know, set up their own venture capital firm. They don't care anymore. That's the level of corruption we're at. All right, more news when we come back. We got 58 bodies found in a cartel mass grave near the Mexican tourist town that's only 60 miles from the border with Arizona. But meanwhile, we're sending more troops to Syria.
I've made a lot of predictions that have come true. But I'm here to tell you, most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced, because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever. Beto O'Rourke came out dozens of times and said, we're going to confiscate all your semi-automatic rifles. And he got all the other Democrats on the stage, nine others, to agree and said that he was a hero. Think about that. Now, those Democrats have taken all the guns in the cities they control. Their blue cities are literal crap holes covered with needles and with massive drug dealing and incredible levels of violent crime. They know what they're doing. And now the Supreme Court's come out and ruled that gun manufacturers can be sued into oblivion for what criminals do using their firearms. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen, this country's under such incredible attack. But more and more towns and cities are saying they're sanctuaries for the Second Amendment, and they're going to follow the original Bill of Rights and Constitution, and they're not going to help in the confiscation of guns. So you see, a lot of these cities ignore illegal aliens. Well, we could ignore all your unconstitutional laws. A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them. I spend a lot of time reminding the InfoWars family of listeners and viewers that without you, we won't be on the air. And I spend a lot of time thanking you. But I really think you should thank yourself for keeping us on the air and really changing the world for the better and raising the alarm as modern Paul Revere's. But something I should spend more time on is just reminding you that these products are really amazing. You've got that pledge from me, but you've seen the third-party test out there, the air filtration, the water filtration. The supplements are all the very best you're going to find out there. And you can't fund an operation anywhere else that's fighting the globalist this hard. So it's not a burden to support InfoWars. It really is something that is good for everybody, that stands for justice and freedom, and makes your life and your family's life and your children's life so much better. So visit InfoWarsStore.com today.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Freedom to offend. There is no free speech. It's the David Knight Show. And now, your host,
David Knight.
Welcome back. We keep seeing all of these stories about miracle vaccines or miracle DNA manipulations. And I just want to focus on what's going on with gene editing of DNA for a moment here. I've talked in the past about how cattle association people, and of course, you know, when you're raising cattle, you know, a lot of people have pushed back against the dairy industry, said, oh, you know, they're inhumane to the cattle. No, they're not. I mean, they're not even raising them for meat. These are dairy cows. That's their whole business. They take very good care of these cows. That's all of their, money is tied up in these cows. So they baby these cows. But the animal activists, don't like that. And, they try to shut that down. But the people even who are, whether it's dairy cows or whether it's meat cows, that they're doing, they try to, maximize the cattle in different ways. And we've just had a very eye-opening expose of some genetic engineering by a company that's called Recombinetics, where things didn't exactly go the way that they said they were going to go. We're told all the time how we got this new miraculous tool, CRISPR, right? And it's able to go in and just surgically edit the DNA. But in the past, we've had, before this story just came out, we've had cattle breeders who said, well, just understand, because they're ahead of the curve on this. This is coming in and being applied to humans. Lots of talk about how they're going to do this to humans. You've already had the situation in China where this was done by one individual. He said, I experimented on human babies. I made them immune to HIV. It's like, you ought to be very skeptical about that. And you ought to be very skeptical about this tool. Cattle breeders have looked at this and they said, this CRISPR situation is not a scalpel. It's more like a chainsaw. It's actually a very crude tool. It is a tool to edit the DNA, but it has some very unexplained consequences. And so let's take a look at what happened with Recombinetics. The gene editing of DNA inside living cells is considered by many to be the preeminent technological breakthrough of the new millennium, writes greenmedinfo.health. And of course, in late July, the latest incident of this, the FDA analyzed the whole genomes of two calves that were born in 2016. The calves were edited by a biotech startup, Recombinetics, using a gene editing method called TALENs. The two animals had become biotech celebrities for having a genetic change that removed their horns. So when they breed cattle, the horns are something of an issue. They don't want the cattle to hurt each other or hurt humans, so they typically take that out. So if Recombinetics could genetically engineer this so that the cattle didn't have horns, that would be a big win for them. They insisted that their two edited animals were extremely precisely altered to possess only the trait that would remove the horns. However, the FDA researchers found that was not the case. Each of the Recombinetics calves possessed two antibiotic-resistant genes along with other segments of superfluous bacteria DNA. So you understand? They had an antibiotic-resistance genes. And they also had some bacteria DNA that got in there as well. That's a bit of a problem. And that's a different problem than the other cattle researchers had found. They said, we found that when we did the splice, it's supposed to be a particular spot in the DNA that they would cut. And then that same quote-unquote tool, that segment that would have it, that would do the cut, would also have some DNA that would be adapted by the body to take the place of what they just cut out. But they said, we found that it made some changes elsewhere, kind of at random. And now these people are finding that they also had contamination from bacteria and that they also made an unexpected change in another area. The FDA finding has attracted some media attention. You're not seeing this headline most places, right? mainly focusing on the incompetence of Recombinetics. But following the FDA findings, Brazil terminated a breeding program that had they'd already begun using these techniques from Recombinetics. But the FDA's findings are potentially trivial besides another recent discovery about gene editing, that foreign DNA from surprising sources can routinely find its way into the genome of edited animals. All DNA editing is really the cutting of DNA by enzymes. These are supposed to act only at chosen sites. However, the cut creates a double-stranded break that severs and therefore severely damages a chromosome. I want you to keep this in mind when you hear these miracle cures touted about DNA editing for humans. I mean, this is a very, very dangerous area that we're getting into. And it is going faster than people are really thinking about the consequences of. And just go back and think about, do this. Go onto YouTube and take a look at some of these videos, these optimistic videos about what life in the future was going to be like, going back to the 1950s, the 1960s, or even the 1970s. I enjoy going back and looking at those sometimes. Here is the kitchen of the future. Sometimes they get it right. Sometimes what we have today is a lot more elegant than what they had back then. But you never saw anybody, when they're talking about the kitchen of the future, you never saw them talking about how their refrigerator was going to be hooked up to something called the Internet and how the CIA was going to be spying on you through that. That's what David Petraeus was bragging about 6 or 7 years ago as director of the CIA. Yeah, you know, we've got all this smart home stuff. It's going to be wired to the Internet, and it's going to be talking about you. They never thought about that downside of these types of things. And they never really realized some of the health effects of the aluminum TV dinners or the microwave dinners and so forth. So, you know, you go back and you look at their vision of the future and compare that, and then think about how they sold you all of these ideas of technology that never had any failures, never had any downside, never had any unexpected consequences. Yeah, you know, technology is great, and I'm all for it. That's why I became an engineer, but I also, after becoming an engineer and looking at technology a lot, I realized that it can be abused, especially if it is concentrated in the hands of a few individuals, like the technocratic elite in Silicon Valley and with government. And that's exactly what Eisenhower warned us in his vision of the future when he talked about the military academic industrial complex, how these people would essentially take over all research and how for profit they would get us involved in war and the various motives that would be driving these people. So just understand, when you look at these miracle cures, what is really happening? You're cutting the DNA. You're severely damaging a chromosome. And the enzymes most commonly used by the researchers for this cutting are the FUC1 enzyme for the TALENs type of editing. That's FOC. Pronounced the same way, I guess. The Cas9 for CRISPR, or the zinc finger for the ZFN. Subsequent to this cutting event, the cell effects a repair, and this DNA repair is usually inaccurate because the natural repair mechanism in most cells is somewhat random. The result is called the edit. Researchers typically must select from many edits in order to obtain the one that they desire. And so when you look at this, the downside of all this is that you get extraneous DNA contamination put in there as well. Not only do they have to understand which genes they're going to cut out and which ones they're going to put in to fix a particular situation and hope that they don't break something else, they also have to worry about the DNA strand actually breaking somewhere else. And then they have to worry about contaminants, which would be other species coming in. They call that transgenic. Yeah, there we go. That's the new thing to be concerned about. Not transgender, but transgenic.
The globalists know that I will never willingly give up. I've said it many times, I will never give in. I will never give up, but I could give out. And it's very, very frustrating to see them committing all their crimes against humanity, to see evil running rampant like this, and to know that most Americans have already been silenced in cyberspace, that most Americans have already been shadow banned by big tech. And to know that most Americans feel powerless and don't realize how much power they have by spreading the word about NewsWars.com, InfoWars.com, and Band.video. And that people are hungry for the truth now more than ever. And that if you tell people, hey, the banned truth they don't want you to have is at InfoWars.com/show and Band.video. So take heart, folks. They've had to censor everybody and shut everybody down because the truth is powerful and they can't beat us fair and square. InfoWars Life has done it again with undoubtedly our biggest breakthrough yet. Super silver whitening toothpaste. This is proprietary. This is with the top lab in the country, and it is incredibly high quality. This is the best toothpaste you're going to find. It's called whitening toothpaste, but really it knocks out the bacteria. It recalcifies the teeth. It does so many things on so many fronts. These beautiful tubes of super silver toothpaste are available at an introductory price of 25% off out of the gates. It's as low as we can go, and they're going to sell out very, very quickly. Super silver whitening toothpaste is going to be a hit. I'm very, very proud of it. And I want to thank my father, a retired dentist, for spearheading this the last 2 years and developing it. It's 25% off out of the gates. That's as low as we can go because it's very, very expensive to produce. Get yours today at InfoWarsLife.com. There's a famous quote by a Marine Corps general in the Korean War when 3 million Chi-Coms had flooded across the border and surrounded the Marines. More than 50 to 1, some estimates have it. But the point is they were outnumbered, and the general was told, "General, we're completely surrounded." He said, "Good, we can attack in all directions." Well, that's the point that InfoWars has reached. And it really is epic. It really is biblical. And we wouldn't have gone this far without all your support. But it's going to become more critical than ever as the censorship becomes complete. And it's not just Americans, but folks all over the world are completely silenced when it comes to speaking the name of a CIA fake whistleblower or exposing a pedophile or speaking out against dangerous vaccines. Because by InfoWars having its own platform, that checkmates the globalists. A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Versus privacy. The big technocratic elite who have taken over the internet for the most part, they are not content with that because just like John D. Rockefeller, when they asked him as the richest man in the world, one reporter said, how much is enough? He said, just a little bit more. And that's what drives these people. They can never have enough power. Where does their power come from? It comes from data about you. See, big data, like Google, like Facebook, like these social media companies, big data is antithetical to the idea of privacy. Privacy destroys their business model. That's why I hope George Gilder is right. I hope we do have life after Google, because they're trying to control and destroy everything about our privacy and liberty. You don't have any liberty if you don't have any privacy either, right? So that means that big data is against your liberty.
as well. And now they're moving into other areas. In case you don't want to get on the internet and be controlled by these people, be monitored by these people, be monetized by these people, they're not going to limit their endeavors to cyberspace. They're coming into physical space. I've talked about Sidewalk Labs many times, how they are demanding that they be given corporate governance of a geographical area in the same way that Disney World was given that carve-out. If they went in, they privately, secretly bought up large amounts of land, and then they came to the politician and said, give us control of this, and we'll build a great resort here. It'll bring a lot of money into the state and so forth. And they did it, and they have their own control over that area. Google is demanding that in Toronto. That's their plan. They want more control over this. They want to have their own police and security and courts. They're going to look at how you behave and what you do. And if you are somebody that they like, you'll be able to have a business. If not, you won't, just like the Chinese government, because the Chinese government is a system of corporate fascism. And that's exactly what our technocratic elite are trying to set up here. And they're getting the cooperation of our government leaders, not only in Toronto, but going into Detroit and Denver and Alameda, California. That's next on the list. And now Google, we just talked about this yesterday. Every day it's another step. You know, going into this Sidewalk Labs, where you'll be walking on the sidewalk because you won't own a car, where you might be living on the sidewalk because you can't afford or have access to a house. Yesterday we talked about Project Nightingale, where they took their big data model, scraping stuff off of a cloud system out of a large network of Catholic hospitals. You had some whistleblowers expose this and say, look, they're violating everybody's information. They're not informing patients. They're not informing doctors. Google is stealing this information in violation of HIPAA laws about privacy, medical privacy. They don't care. They're above the law, quite frankly. And so with Project Nightingale, they're grabbing your medical information. With Sidewalk Labs, they want to control urban physical space. They want to enact smart cities. And now they're launching checking accounts today. Every day, something new from Google. Google launches checking accounts in big tech's latest move on Wall Street, reports Zero Hedge. First, we had the Apple credit card, which even people like Steve Wozniak are complaining about. That's being done with a partnership with Goldman Sachs, and now Google has decided it's time to get into consumer finance as well. According to Wall Street Journal, they will soon offer checking accounts to consumers. See, we have Facebook with their global cryptocurrency project Libra, and they're getting a lot of pushback from the politicians and the big banks, because now we've got a we've got a conflict here between giant corporations and banks. But again, you know, the quote from Thomas Jefferson, if we allow private banks, you know, like the Federal Reserve or these other banks, they're going to find a time where the banks and the corporations that grow up around them, who in and of themselves aspire to be banks, will leave us homeless on the continent our forefathers conquered. And that's exactly what we see happening now. Sidewalk Labs, Project Nightingale. Now we have Google checking accounts. They're going to do, it's codename Cash, C-A-C-H-E. It's expected to launch next year with a partner of Citigroup. Maybe they could just call it the Smart Citigroup. That'd be a nice combination of these different aspects there. Big tech's next frontier is to monopolize the American economy, financial aspect of it. They want to become bankers. And again, they have the actual bankers who are, some of them are partnering with them. Some of them are fighting them. They've got some partners in government. You know, some people in government say, well, we want to, we don't want you guys to have that kind of power. But you got a lot of people who are susceptible to being bribed by these corporations who have so much money. So it kind of falls on hollow ears, I think, hypocrites. We see these Democrats like Bernie Sanders, like Elizabeth Warren, talking about what they want to do to billionaires. You know, Bernie Sanders tweets out, billionaires should not exist, only millionaires like me, right? It's okay to be a millionaire because Bernie's a millionaire, but he doesn't like people who got more money than him. So I got to get rid of the billionaires. Well, that's fine. I don't like all the power concentrated in these technocratic elite either. And says, but what are you going to do about that? How are you going to stop that? Well, Elizabeth Warren says markets without rules are theft. Except these are the people who every one of their policies is based on theft. The bottom line is she's going to make the rules because she's going to be the ruler. And if only the ruler makes the rules, then what you have is tyranny. She will be the thief. And what she'll be stealing is your liberty and your independence. And as I said before, the concentration of wealth that we should be concerned about, they thought, oh, look at this, how wealth is being concentrated. You know, the middle class and the poor are getting poor all the time in America. Well, the key concentration of wealth and power is what's happening in Washington. And that kind of concentration of wealth and power and how they use the that power, how the large corporations and banks use that power to get even wealthier, is the real issue. AOC, on the other hand, has a solution to all of this. Of course, everything for her comes down to climate change. That's the way the Marxists, the socialists push this out. She says, had an interesting thing to say about climate change. She blames it on white people. Here is AOC.
We preserve our systems is by transitioning to principles of universality. That means I want you clothed, I want you educated, I want you paid a living wage, no ifs, ands, or buts.
I want you dependent on me. I will be the provider of everything in your life. You'll be completely dependent on God.
And what that also means, and what Naomi talked about as well, is directly, consciously combating white supremacy in the United States of America.
See, because white people are the enemy. White people are the reason that you don't have nice things.
Because
government can give you white things, nice things. Government will get rid of white people.
For the life of me, cannot understand why we are panicked about, why we get so panicked about terrorist activity all over the world, and we don't seem to recognize it in our own backyard.
See, white people are the real terrorists, according to her. Got to eliminate those white people. And she was went on to say, we got to do what Naomi, meaning Naomi Klein, a Canadian activist, what Naomi talked about as well. Directly, consciously combating white supremacy in the United States of America. Because Naomi Klein had talked about two fires. And she referred to Naomi Klein as having indigenous wisdom. In other words, you know, people, Indians, you know, Native Americans. They're the ones who have true wisdom because they're the only ones who care about the environment. Remember that commercial back in the 1970s where he had Iron Eyes Cody who was crying? I used to laugh and say, we ought to call him Rusty. Hey, Iron Eyes, don't cry. You're going to get rusty. But they're the ones who really comprehend what is going to guide our policy. And here's the way Naomi Klein put it, that AOC liked what she had to say. She spoke about two fires, Naomi did. Climate change and the divisive conservatives, like President Trump and his supporters. She said you have an in-group and an out-group. And so you know who's in and who's out. I mean, these people are unapologetic racist. Everything that they talk about comes down to race. And she says that we are the ones who are experts at spreading division. No, all they see is skin color. And they are hyper-partisan, they're hyper-racist, they're hyper-bigoted. Folks, that's all the time we've got for today. We have a new special at InfoWarsStore.com. Black Friday sales have arrived. Take a look at the deep discounts we have for you. In addition to free shipping and double Patriot points at InfoWarsStore.com, many items up to 70% off. And, of course, we have some of my favorites like Brain Force Plus, 50% off our new Super Silver Toothpaste. This one with whitening agents, natural whitening agents. You can find that all at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, deep discounts, free shipping, double Patriot points, InfoWarsStore.com.